Blog Talk Radio.
You are now rocking to the beats with the East Coast music mogul, DJ Mike Q. Queen Beat Productions, DJMikeQ.com.
Thank you.
Pat, 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 pat shit go up and down. That bitch can't bounce like that bitch can't hold up. Make that shit go up and down, up and down, go up and down, up and down, go up and down, up and down, go up and down. That bitch can't pop like me. Down, up and down, go up and down, up and down, go up. Hold up.
Carolina Awards Ball, Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Doors open at 5 p.m. Admission $30 all night. Location, Symphony Ballroom at the Blake Hotel, Uptown, Charlotte, North Carolina. Commentators, Icon Jack Mizrahi and Icon J Manolo Blahnik. DJ, Legendary Vonalore. Grand Prize, $1,500. Bush Queen Realist with a Twist. Mini Grand Prize, $500. Butch Queen Vogue Fest. Mini Grand Prize, $500. Butch Queen European Runway. Categories include male figure versus female figure. Two trophies. One cash prize of $250. Butch Queen Fest. One trophy, one cash prize of $250. Open to all foot and eye. male figure versus female figure. Two trophies, one cash prize of $250. Open to all teams, three wins. One trophy, one cash award of $300. And 13 other $100 categories. The 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball. Saturday, May 5th, 2012, Charlotte, North Carolina. See you there! The Cleveland Hearts Birthday Ball 2, February 18th, 2012, 54 Land Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio, 44509. Commentators for the evening, legendary Kevin J.C. Prodigy and Lesway Derion. $25 all night. Doors open at 10 o'clock. Legend Satan for Stars at 12:30. Guest list closes at midnight. The ball will end at 5 a.m. Cash categories, grand prize, open to all Vogue performers, $1,000. Bring a gift for $10 pop. Other categories include open to all runway, $250. Femme Queen Realness, $150. Foot Queen and Drag Realness, The Transformation, $100. Open to all Thug Realness, 4 trophies, 1 cash award, $100. Open to all Sex Sirens, 4 trophies, 1 cash award, $100. Virgin Vogue, $50. The Cleveland Hearts Birthday Ball 2, February 18th, 2012. 54 Laird Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio. See you there. T2T, Center to Touch presents Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Ball. Sunday, March 24th, 2012, 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Fort Cheyenne Casino and Event Center, 2428 East Cheyenne Avenue, North Las Vegas, Nevada. Hosted by the legendary mother, Divine Chanel. Commentated by the icon, Jack Mizrahi. We are proud to say we offer the biggest cash prizes on the West Coast. No tea, no shade, no competition. Over $6,000, 3 years and counting. Categories include mini grand prize. $500 open to all runway. $500 open to all realness. $500 open to all best dress. $1,000 open to all fake. Car. You understand it. And 8 other $100 categories. Grand prize number 1, $1,500 open to all Vogue. Grand prize number 2, $1,500 open to all sex virus. Get ready. T2T, Center to Touch presents Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Ball. Ballroom Throwback presents Wanted 2012. The first annual YouTube Awards Ball, March 3rd, 2012. Time, 7 p.m. until 3 a.m. Where? 841 Barreto Street, The Bronx, New York, 10451. Categories include Femme Queen Face, Smooth Criminal, Dressed in Killer Black with a Smoking Red Lip, $500 cash. Twister vs. Sister, $250 cash. Add $20 to the pot, one trophy. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Legendary Performance, $500. Add $20 to the pot. Butch Queens vs. Sun Queens, one trophy. Theme Battle, Grand Prize. $1,500 and one trophy. Grand prize, $2,012 to the house with the most trophies. Ballroom Throwback presents Wanted 2012, the first annual YouTube Awards Ball.
out the beats and making it hot.
Making it hot.
It's DJ IQ.
All right, so many phones going on at the same time. So much is just happening right now. I do apologize for technical difficulties, but I wanted to say thank you for tuning in tonight to the State of Emergency show, where tonight your voice will be heard, calling out all stars and all statements in reference to pretty much any concerns that you have tonight with, or if you have overall, as far as the ballroom scene goes, your houses, what happens on the runway, your judges panel, the politics, the fighting for legendary status, iconic status, and things of that sort. Tonight is your night where you can express yourself, you can share with us what is going on, and how you feel about it overall. I have a couple of people that are going to be sitting in with me tonight. I'm losing them as we speak. So if you are on the phone lines, please press 1, and I will bring you on. I am not here to judge you. I am not here to question you. I'm here to give you this platform to reach out and speak. I will not be taking any calls from any legends or icons tonight. Only accept the people that are sitting with me. But no calls. If you are a legend and icon, you really should be listening tonight and not really, you know, expressing yourself. Those other nights are for you. We have other nights that are for you for that. But tonight, it's really for the stars and the statements, the spectators, the 007s. It's for anyone out there that feels that they can never be heard. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been hearing and getting a lot of calls about great concerns when it comes to the stars and the statements. They have been expressing to me how they feel about all the arguing, all the violence, how we can't get along, how the panels now consist of legends and icons, and they can never see eye to eye as far as things go. How leadership roles and houses between legends and icons as well show houses crumbling within, how they feel that they never can be, you know, they never, if they express themselves, they're pushed over to the corner and no one ever listens to them. I don't believe in that. I believe that if you are someone who contributes to the family, to the house, to the balls, that, you know, we should listen to what you guys have to say as well. So tonight I'm giving you guys a platform to come on and speak. Again, I don't want you guys to be afraid. I don't want you guys to feel that you're going to get into trouble. I will say this. The numbers for the show tonight, even though it just started, are not where I felt that they should be. I feel that they should be. I feel that throughout the week, a lot of people have been hitting me up stating they want to come on and they want to talk. But I also feel that sometimes they may go to their house parents and their leaders, and the leaders will tell them, don't do it. Don't get on the show. Don't say this, don't say that, and they're afraid. But I know for a fact, and I know that there is many of you out there that feel the same way, that there are children out there that do want to express themselves. They're just afraid. And I want you guys to all realize that you don't have to be. You know, this is, again, an extracurricular activity. You know, if you want to have a voice, if you want to be a true leader one day, a true legend, a true icon, then this is where you start, you know. I just want you to know that this is you know, your night tonight. So everyone that's out there, please call your brothers and your sisters up, your friends, and tell them what the show is about. And if you are a real parent out there and a real leader, you would have your children call in and speak and have them express their concerns as well. I don't think anyone likes to get pointed at. I don't think anyone likes to feel that, they're going to be looked at badly, and maybe they feel that their child or someone will maybe make them look bad. But that's not the point tonight, because we all need to get along, and we all need to get it together, period. So we'll see where it goes. You know, like Kelly has always said with the show, when she does a recap, you know, people at the ball, they say, I want to call in, I want to say this, I'm going to read. But when it comes to that night, everyone is afraid. Everyone is hiding, or they're just listening or just spectating, which is fine. You know why? Because I know before the night is through, we will hear from certain people, and we will hear what they have to say. And then we'll continue to do it again and again and again until we get it right. So I want to say thank you for everyone tuning in. I know that there are some legends, icons, as well as pioneers that are out there listening to the show as well. And I want to say thank you so much. And for those of you who are listening and only can give us a few minutes of your time, thank you. You can catch the archives, you know, tonight after the show is over with, or tomorrow, download it on your iPod, listen to it while you're traveling to work or school, or just catch it later on in the day. But I want to say thank you as well. I'm going to bring on my co-host tonight, who is the pioneer icon of the iconic House of Chanel. I want to bring on R.R. Chanel. R.R., you're supposed to have an intro, and I don't know where it's at. We're going to have to get to Switchboard about this. There it goes.
Insight to call in this evening, because their voice is the voice that we really need to hear.
Yeah, definitely. I hope they call in. As a matter of fact, I'm going to bring on another co-host right now. He is the overseer of the House of Mizrahi over in Detroit. I want to bring on TJ Mizrahi. Hi, TJ. How are you?
Hey, Jazzy. Hey, how are y'all?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. Just sitting back. Wanted to have an insight and listen to the show tonight, because this is a topic that we've discussed here in Detroit numerous times.
Yeah. For those of you who know who TJ is, he's all over the place. For those of you who don't know who he is, he does have a ball coming up on April the 7th. There will be a commercial played for that this upcoming Monday. And if you guys can, go out to his ball. You can catch his flyer out on Facebook, on his personal page. And I think he has an event page as well. But TJ
yep.
has been walking now for a while. I know he's known for Schoolboy Realness. He was one of the $5,000 members, Schoolboy members that were allowed to compete for the $5,000. I think it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago at the Fourth Collections Ball. And he is the overseer of the House of Mizrahi out in the Detroit in the Midwest. So tell us a little bit about that, TJ, as far as, you know, how's it going out there in the ballroom scene and things of that sort?
Well, I mean, the ballroom scene is the ballroom scene everywhere. It's cool here. Going back from the old days, back like when the first ball I went to, which was in 2003, at the Blackwell Center in Detroit to now, you know, it's a big difference. Balls are no longer fun like they used to be. It seemed like it's more of a headache. It's not an extracurricular activity anymore. It seems like people are making this their main focus. Like, I just don't understand what happened to going to work Monday through Friday, Friday night coming, you turn into the boss, go have fun at the boss, and Monday morning you go back to a regular life. Now, to me, it seems it's ball, ball, ball every day. People are living off the balls every day, happen to go to a ball, hoping to win grand prize to pay their room fare. It's just a headache. Like, what happened to the morals and the values? Why? How about instead of everybody worrying about a legendary status, they go get a damn diploma or a GED, get a job, do something else? I don't understand why it's such a big thing going on with this legendary stuff. Everybody wanting to just do balls, balls, balls every day to get a legendary status.
Well, since a couple of people that said that they were going to call in and they said that they were going to be a part of the show, all of a sudden are MIA, I will, until maybe they do get on or someone else brings it up, but I will speak on behalf of some of the issues that they brought up. One of the issues that they said were, I'm not going to mention any names, but one particular person did bring up to me that they feel that they need to be legendary because they feel that that is the only way to get the respect that's needed in the ballroom scene. What do you guys feel about that? That without that legendary status, you're not going to have any type of respect at all. So what do you guys feel about that?
Well, I personally think that it's a thing of, as an example, when they do legend statements on stars and they call out legendary this and legendary and icon and icon, then when it's somebody who doesn't have legendary status, the crowd doesn't go up for them as much, even though their performance is just as equal as that legendary person, but they just haven't gotten the title yet. So they feel like instead of them being in the light, you know, they're in the shadow and they don't get recognized as they should. So they need to ask for that type of status so that they can be recognized, when some of them are really willing to wait for the status, but only because people who already have the status, they're getting so much light off of it. When once you get a status, that's when you're supposed to mentor that next person to try to get their status.
I can understand that. Now, my personal views on it, no offense to RR or any other icon or legend, I honestly think all the status stuff is a bunch of bullshit. If they drop it all, we won't have the problems we got. You do it to make a name, to make someone else feel a certain type of way. I'm legendary. Whoopee. You still walk your ass out here, you can get chopped too, just like anybody else. I'm legendary. I've been doing this for 10, 12, 14, 16 years. I'm icon. It seems like to me people just use these statuses just to have some type of clout. Every time they come up with a new status, they come up with something new. You got legends, statements, stars, icons, pioneer icons. So it's like every time you look up, they're coming up with something new to make another status for somebody else to be happy, for the next person to say, okay, that's what I want. Now, another thing that I want to know, with icons, we have pioneer icons. So now that y'all have a new wave of icons, what happened when the new kids that got icon become pioneer icons? What are the pioneer icons going to become then?
In existence. Because they already think that the pioneer icons need to just take a back seat when they don't respect the people who have paved the way for them. And I do agree with you that, you know, this whole status thing is getting out of control. And I think that if people walk into a ballroom and leave their status on the sidewalk and just come in for the competition and the whole creativity of what balls are supposed to be like, I think we would all have more fun. You know, I've never come to a ball on status. I've always come just as RR, just to have fun. And I talk to everybody and I mingle with everybody and I try to mentor to everybody. And I just think that once people of the 2000 generation gets status, they have this halo over their head that they really feel like everything is red carpet with them. And I think that's where the problem lies. Like you said, we need to put this whole status thing aside for a minute and stop giving out statuses of any kind until we can resolve the fun back into the ballroom and the creativity back in the ballroom and the unity that was once in the ballroom.
I agree. If honestly we just go back and just take everything away and everybody be equal, you won't have this, oh, this person's legendary, let me do this. This person feels she don't have to walk because she's legendary. What's the purpose? If you're legendary now, you walked and done this, what, you scared to get on the show? I mean, you scared to grace the floor now because you're legendary?
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's not so much take back, but if leave things where they are. If people already have their status and everything, what don't come out in the wash will come out in the rinse. You will see who really earned it and who really deserves it. But at the end of the day, we need to stop at this point and rectify the situation. It's almost like doing open heart surgery. If you see something going wrong, you need to stop and make sure that you fix that before you continue on with the surgery. You understand? So we can't continue.
Well, let's see what the callers have to say. What I want you and I to do is just like really sit back and listen to them. Don't give them a solution or anything. Let's see what they say. Let us hear what they feel their solutions should be. And again, I'm reaching out to all the statements and stars that are out there. I want you guys to call in. Have your friends call in, your brothers, your sisters. I want all you parents out there that are listening to the show, all you icons and legends, have your children call in, your gay children call in, and express what they feel is wrong with the ballroom scene right now. Why are we under a state of emergency? Why is everything happening that is happening right now within the balls? Anything that you feel is wrong, from the politics, the legendary and icon status, the panels and the way the panels are. Do you feel more stars and statements should be on the panel, or should it be more legends and icons, or a mixture? The way the balls are given, should they be given only by icons and legends or houses, or is it okay for a star or statement to give a ball? You know, as many balls as we have, you know, every week I think there's a ball in March, and now I've been looking into April, there's a ball the first 2 weeks of April. I'm sure by next week there'll be a ball the last 2 weeks of April. I want everyone to sit back and think about, you know, what do you feel is right? What do you feel is wrong? And what do you feel needs to be changed and how it can change? No one is going to attack you. And I don't want no legends or icons calling and saying, well, this is what it should be. And this, I don't want to hear all that. I want RR and myself to sit back and listen to what they have to say. I know that we have a lot of pioneer icons on the phone, icons and legends. I do see you guys. You guys are hitting me up on Facebook and everything. I thank you for listening. They want to hear your voice as well. So this is the time. I do not like taking private callers because I'm not going to play the back and forth game with you guys. Please, if you're calling private, please hang up and call in with your number. If you just want to disguise your voice or you don't want no one to hear you, I may make that exception. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Maybe you just don't want your number to be called out. You don't want your house to get on you or something, but you still want to express yourself. Maybe that's what's happening. So maybe I will take a private caller, but we'll see where it goes. The first person I want to bring on the phone is area code 313-585. You're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine, TJ. This is Rico. I personally think that balls should only be thrown by leaders, and it should only be awards balls, house balls, and staple balls like Rags, People's Choice Collections, because too many balls is really draining for one, and then two, leaders should stop making bars nationally mandatory. I think it should be mandatory for the regional people that's there, but not nationally, especially if they don't support that region. You know, I was in a house before that was a national house, and they were making mandatory to go to this bar and that bar, but they never came to Detroit. You know, so I really think that leaders should really stick to not only mean what they say, but lead by example. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not doing it, what make you think your child is going to do it? You know, and stop letting these kids that's underage in your house if they're not in school or have a high school diploma.
I agree. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why do you feel that only leaders and legends and icons should throw balls?
Because, TJ, it's too many of them. It really is. It's too many and it's too draining and it's killing it because you got all these people that's trying to dorm and they not having their cash or they counting on their door for the cash. And then because that's the main focus of balls now. So when they get there and the cash not giving out, well, then people are like, well, I'm not going back to a ball in that city no more because they don't give out their cash. Not just the person, or I'm not going to a ball, the person in that house ball because the people in their house don't like to give out their cash. You know, when it's brought upon as a house ball or a wars ball or a staple ball, it's going to be a main attraction. Everybody's going to be there, and it's going to have that luster. You know what I'm saying? People don't. It's so many balls now. People don't even get done for them anymore. It's rare that I've seen anybody in a suit at a ball or a gown that's not walking best dressed. Like for real.
Well, as far as that, you have leaders, icons, and legends who throw them balls, and hell, they don't give out all their money. Hell, I know people in Chicago and Detroit and everywhere else I know people who will start a fight just so they don't have to go to their grandpa's money. That's leaders of houses. So
right.
I don't feel that should just be the leaders that should give out balls.
We
can go back to Detroit. When
leader.
I first threw my first ball here, I wasn't a leader. My ball was my ball was successful. I gave out cash. It shouldn't be leaders because, honestly, most of the shit that's going on down here, the reason why balls are not completing and not giving out is because of what the leaders, the icons, the legends are doing. They're starting all the shit on the panels. They're the reason why balls are getting shut down, starting fights.
Right.
And
okay, now,
the
I'm going to say something to both you guys. You said your name is Rico?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. Because, TJ, I can hear it in your voice how passionate you are about all this and how you feel about this. And I want to hear from Rico first, and then I'm going to go to TJ. Rico, you feel that only the legends and the icons or people of status, basically, or houses or the balls that have that name should be the ones given. You don't think that, you know, anyone else should be given balls. And what is your main reason of that again? Why do you feel that one more time?
Because it's too many. You know, if you have
too many
balls.
Too many balls
right.
All over the country. And it's
right.
Not
many
that
balls.
Many of those balls that we look forward to.
Right.
Okay. And TJ, you feel that a lot of the balls that we look forward to, we wait so long to look forward to these balls, and you feel that it's the legends and the icons and those promoters that are messing them up. Why do you feel that way?
Because if you look at the track that goes on at the balls, every time you look up a fight's breaking out of the ball, it's never the statements and stars and the new people hardly start the balls. It's the legends that are starting fights at the balls. Because this one's bitter about this one, or I'm a house parent and this person chopped my child. So I feel a certain type of way, I want to go check them or do something. Like, come on now, that's stupid. You don't win everything. You win some, you lose some. Sit down. We just had the Dorian Corey Awards, but right before that, Face, legend, fighting at a ball. That's why he's banned and all this stuff. It's like, come on now, the legends and icons and the people we're supposed to look up to in the scene, that's supposed to be grooming the new generation, is honestly the ones that's starting all the shit, that's causing all the shade on the panel.
Okay. Now, I'm going to bring someone else on that I know has a strong voice. She has been dedicated to this show since the beginning, and she has always expressed her opinions when it came to a lot of these issues, with, you know, and she never bit her tongue. Keisha, you're live on the line.
Oh, my God, I love you so much. Wow. I'm going to get my boy voice. The reason, okay, I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna keep it. No. That's my alter ego. But I'm gonna keep it real with you. The reason why I'm so expressive is because I used to walk balls, and I was never a statement. I was never a star. I'm not a legend. But what I brought to the ballroom scene, you would say this person is potential to become an upcoming, whatever the case may be, statement star, what have you. My issue is I was always shaded because I was always the underdog who wasn't a legend, and a lot of times I had to go against someone who was a legend or someone who was a statement or star, and because they didn't know who I was, I guess I was considered a non-factor, and I got shaded a lot. It so happened was the last house that I was in, once I became in that house, I noticed then I got a little respect, but still was shaded because of the fact that if I went against a legend, they always gave it to a legend. And it's not fair. It is not fair. And I think that's what discouraged me a lot about the ballroom scene. Yes, I didn't travel as much as certain people because I did have a job and I had other things I had to do prior to the ball. I enjoy balls because it was an extracurricular activity. But because I wasn't doing every single ball, and like someone did say, there are too many balls. I can't travel and work focus on my career. It's just not going to happen. Something's going to fall, and I was not going to give up my career to do a ball because at the end of the day, who's going to pay my rent? Who's going to put money on my table to feed myself and to feed my family? Is this what's going to happen? Something had to give. But I enjoy the ballroom scene. I enjoy going to balls. I enjoy looking at, like, creative people who showcase their talent. But there was so much shade and so much politics, it just discouraged me. Okay. And I think you guys both have valid points. You know, there are too many balls, granted. And when there's too many balls, some people can't afford it. So what happens then? They have to do what they have to do to make ends meet. So now they start doing unethical things just to make ends meet. And that could be another problem in the ballroom scene. It's not like how we see back in the days. People can do whatever they have to do to get a ball or make money to do a ball. Now things have changed. So now people have to say, what can I do to make this ball a success or how can I get to that ball? I've heard stories time to time how people didn't have money and they had to do what they had to do to get to a ball.
That's true.
I don't know if I made any sense because I know I was going in tangents. But,
no, you made a lot of sense.
Oh, okay, because I know I was kind of just, no, but it, you know the younger generation, and not by age, by experience, they're probably discouraged because.
So
of
would
the
fact, you say that is that where the whole Kiki idea came from?
Yes, exactly. I don't do Kiki balls because I'm not a little kid, and I'm not. I'm over 21. But I think the Kiki scene was made for those kids who are not ready for the mainstream, okay, and they had to really, like, showcase their talent before they made it to the mainstream. There are some kids in the Kiki scene that will run circles around people in the mainstream, circles. When it comes to their talent, when it comes to creativity, they will run circles, circles.
I totally agree with that.
But because of who they are, it's just not going to happen. And I have to honestly say, and I know, for example, you take a legend. If your child is walking against a non-factor, I don't think that legend is going to give it to that non-factor, although that non-factor served that other kid. And you got to come on and say, I've seen it for myself. I've seen it, how they gave it to their kid because that's their kid, or they gave it to that person because that person is a factor in the scene, and it's not fair. And that's a big, 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 big problem in the ballroom scene. And not to put you on the spot, but I know for a fact if your child was walking, and that's your child, and he was walking against a non-factor, you would give it to your child. Not you, but I'm sure it's just a traditional thing that a lot of the legends, icons, whoever do when they're judging a ball. Am I right or wrong?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening until, you know, someone wants me to interject. But me personally...
No, I think she was asking you that
No,
question.
I personally, I can only speak on what I do, but I can also say that you're not far from the mark in saying what you're saying because I've seen it done. But me personally and, you know, my house, they know that I judge fairly with everybody. If I have a house member who's not serving and you were serving, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to give it to the person who brought it like the flyer said and who served it for that final battle. That's just me. But then you might have someone who does exactly like what you said. But that's where the personal egos come in because they say, you chopped my child for the first category. Now I'm going to get yours in the sixth category.
Some kids leave houses because their child, because their parent did not pick them, and they leave the house. And come on. You have a lot of kids have left their house because when they walked and their parent or somebody in their house was judging, didn't pick them, they left. They left the house.
Because they feel there was no loyalty. Instead of
realizing,
but instead of realizing that it wasn't about loyalty, it was about fairness. And if I can judge my own kids fairly, someone else will judge my kids fairly.
But you don't think that's pressure when you are in a house and you have a child who's serving it, but for some reason, it just wasn't their night. And they felt because my parent is on the panel, they're going to give it to me. But you lose that child, or that child who you didn't vote for your child. So now your child wants to leave, but that person is serving in your house. That puts a lot of pressure, too, on certain houses.
So what you have to understand, there's two chances for an individual to make it to the battle zone. Well, to make it to the battle zone, your house member is going to give you that first 10. If you make it to the battle zone, your house member then has to decide between you and the person that's battling. And if they give you the 10 again and you did serve the other person, then it's merit. If that other person brought the crowd to their feet and you saw that other person bringing the crowd to their feet and your house member gave that person their 10, you can't get upset. You can just say, I'm upset with you, but you turned it. They did turn me, but I'm going to come back next ball and serve her and you're going to bring your 10.
Right, right. Well, and that brings another question in the ballroom scene. When there's cash involved, you have a lot of times house members will vote for their child because they think their child's going to win that money. And you already know from there where it goes from there. This is why I feel that it should be cash as a house, not as a person, as the house. If it's $1,000 for best house, okay, best house should get it, and then y'all decide what you're going to do. It shouldn't be for per person because that's where another problem comes into play. Big, big problem in the ballroom scene.
Well, I'm going to just say this and then I'm going to let y'all go, but finish talking. But instead of saying that it's cash for a category, just say, you know, trophy. And then if you want to be that fat person, when they get there, then you tell them all categories are cash or something like that.
Oh, okay. Good idea.
But see, that's another problem that we have in the scene because a lot of these houses, if they don't see cash on the flyer or know that this category is for this amount of dollars, they're not going to really want to come to the ball. You're going to have house parents say, child, pay that ball. It's not worth it. Why do you go travel
Now that you brought that up, that is one of my questions for tonight. How do you people listening, how do you guys feel when it's a category, let's say runway, you know, and you know, in a rock and roll effect or a gothic effect or something? If you see it just, you know, a regular category, are you going to make an effort to walk this? And if you see it for $500, are you going to make an effort to walk it? You know, which one is it? You know, are you going to break your neck only for the money? If you see it, just how much is it? You know, I've noticed that the first thing that someone says is how much they're giving up.
Mm-hmm.
How much is it for? And, child, I ain't going. So, you know, what do you guys feel about that?
Well, Jazzy, you have icons of legends that tell you up the bat they don't walk unless it's cash involved.
Oh, I know.
You have icons of legends that will not walk unless it's cash. So what example is that setting for the younger generation? So now the younger generation is going to feel the same. Well, I'm not walking if there's no cash. What the fuck? Icons of legends do it, so why not? Again, the younger generation is only going by what they see and what they observe from the older generation.
Let's take a couple of callers. I don't want to keep them on hold all night. But, Keisha, I want you to stand right there. I'm not going to mute you.
Okay.
Rico, are you still with us?
Yes.
You have a very strong voice, and I definitely want you to stay on, too. I'm not going to mute you. Of course, TJ and RR, you're with us. I'm going to take these two private callers with hesitation, but the first private caller, you're on here.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are all of you guys tonight?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm fine. I agree with what, I think your name is Keisha, with what you said. It starts with the leaders. I definitely agree with that. Now, personally, I'm a spectator. I don't, you know, I've never walked a category. I've wanted to only because I didn't walk just because of the things that she just said. You know, it's just so much favoritism, and it's ridiculous. It's out of control. But where I think the problem lies is that it's not even the judges. It's the commutators. Because they're out of control, too. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, they've got to start from the head on down. Because if they don't say certain things, if they don't come up with these rules and stuff like that, a lot of things wouldn't go down. And that's just how I feel. Got to start with the commentators. I mean, Jack, I can't say the house name or whatever. But
you can say it tonight.
Okay, Jack Mizrahi, I think he definitely needs to get his act together.
Yeah, she owes me money, too, by the way, but we won't talk about that. From a category that I walk, and I really did alone, but she owes me money, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think he needs to get his act together. He needs to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have too much to say about, you know what, I can say that about Selvin, too. They both need to get themselves together because they are the main commutators. And it starts from them. And that's why these kids got this in their head, well, you know what, if, you know, I can't walk because, you know, I don't look a certain way or this, that, and the third. It's because of what they hear in the mic. You know, how are you, you know, telling people, oh, you know, you're swept away and all. There's certain things that you say in the mic that can prevent people from walking. And it's crazy. It's ridiculous.
Let me interrupt you with that on a little, you know, just on a note from their end. Let's say, and I understand exactly what you're saying, and I'm not siding with them, but let's say that maybe they're saying this because it lights that match underneath that, you know, that individual to go out there and bring it really strong and go out there and really hit that floor. Oh, because, you know, she said that you have to do it this way and that way. So you know what? I'm going to go out there and do it this way and that way and hit that floor just to show Jack, just to show Selvin, bitch, I'm that motherfucker, not their girlfriend, not their house member, not the one they live for, but I'm going to show them, bitch, no, it's not about them, it's about me. Do you guys feel that maybe that's what they're doing when they're saying these things, or do you really think it's a personal attack towards individuals? Or they just really belittle you if you're not in their circle, so you feel that, child, I'll never make it to that area or that arena that they so-called proclaim they have, that, child, I might as well pay it. I'm just not going to compete. Which one do you feel it is?
I believe that that's the fact, for the simple fact of it. It's been a lot of times where I've been to balls, I've traveled out of balls, and I've, you know, did certain things for my category, and it was overlooked. But when I was, you know, providing them with their party needs or being in the places that, you know, the commentators was at, then all of a sudden they was, you know, treating me a lot differently because I was beneficial to them. You feel what I'm saying? So I really do believe that plays a big part.
It definitely does, because if they don't, because if you don't cater to them or whatever, if you're not on their team or on their side or whatever, then it's like, and especially like someone said, if you, this is your first time walking or whatever, and they don't know who you are, they're going to carry on in that mic. And it just don't make no sense. You're supposed to make people feel comfortable, especially if it's their first time walking and they're nervous and all of that. So, but I understand what you're saying, Jasmine.
One thing that I did at my collections ball, and one thing that I've done at the past couple of collections ball, is this. And I don't know if, you know, a lot of people pay attention to it, but I do know, and I do pay attention to the younger generation, the virgins, the ones that have not been walking for long. What I usually do is I open up the ball with the virgin categories. And, you know, the categories that are proclaimed for those new kids, the new generation, the ones that haven't been walking so long, I open up the ball to them and I make the panel. The panel should consist of the younger generation as well. And the commentators of that category will consist of the younger, you know, commentators as well, because I don't want to have the younger generation up there with the strong commentators like Jack and Selvin, as well as the icons, you know, like R.R., Tony, Stewart, you know, any of them. So I'd rather put, you know, the newer legends, the up-and-coming legends and strong statements and stuff on the panel, as well as commentators, like the up-and-coming commentators like Athena Khan and, you know, people of those sorts. So that's something that I do so the younger generation of the new generation can feel that they can compete up there and not have to be under such strong, you know, judgmental people. So I don't know if maybe that's something people would feel, you know, in the future, you know, that can help, you know, a ball or maybe take that into consideration for promoters and stuff. But how do you guys feel about that?
I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree with that. Can I say something else? Definitely. Can I say something else? What is all this with this drug business in the ballroom scene? I mean, all this, you know, cocaine and this, the details, all of that stuff. And most of the kids that be walking, they be high as hell anyway. So that's why they able to slam things back and do all that foolishness that they do. And I mean, how are you 16 and you sniffing coke? And the house that you and your parents know that you're doing it. I don't get it. I mean, are they condoning this? Like, it's insane.
Well, you know, the drug scene in the ballrooms have been around since the beginning of time. It's just that in my era, it was more discreet. You know, they used discretion. I mean, it was more discretion used, and the parents did not allow their kids to take a bump with them. If the parents were about to take a bump, if the parents were going to take a bump, they would tell the kids, get out of here. This is grown people's stuff, you know, and they would respect that, and they would go about their business, you know. But it seems like this generation, if you're not taking a bump with your kids, you're not showing them that you don't love them. Or if you're not sharing a pill with them, you don't show them that you care. And that's a bad example to be setting. And I think that, you know, one thing I know about me, everybody, you know, that I would see, if I see anybody doing that, I just give them that look like you just don't know what that's going to lead to. Because it's not just for that moment or that period of time that you're doing the drug for the ball. But then after the ball is over, I believe there's always an after party. And then you go to the after party and you add on to that. And these, most of the people who are doing the drugs, is like the young man said, they don't have a job. They're not going to school. They have nothing to do between 9 and 5. So they can get stoned and sleep all day.
All right. I don't know your name, caller spectator, but I got you listed as a spectator. I'm going to put you to the side. I want to say thank you for calling in. Press 1 again. If you have any more questions or anything, we're going to go to the next private caller. Private caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi.
I just want to say thank you for having this show. I've called in several times throughout the past couple of weeks on this show. Sometimes disguising my voice, sometimes making it hot. But tonight I really think...
You caused a lot of ruckus yesterday.
I'm sorry?
You caused a lot of ruckus yesterday.
Well, you know, it's ballroom, and at the end of the day, I really think there should be entertainment, you know, like when you go to pay $30 and see a good play. We do want to see some drama. We do want to see some action. We do want to see the creativity. We do want to see the talent. However, when there's money involved, a lot of times people's judgment gets skewed because of politics, and we all know this. Until we bring the spirit of competition for the trophy aspect where you competing for the trophy, where that is missing from the ballroom, where you will go out and still travel, you know, and spend your money because, A, you appreciate the ballroom scene, you care about the people in the scene, you want to travel to go see your friends in different state, across state lines, and you want to bring that friendly competition and let your girlfriend have it. And if she lets you have it on that floor, oh, well, bitch, you turned it out tonight, you got that trophy, oh, well, and then have a couple of balls a year where it's for that cash. You know, because those people who have worked to really put their name out there and travel and do that stuff in the ballroom scene for that trophy and that spirit of competition, it's kind of like a gift towards, like once a quarter, having a major ball where, you know, you're giving out some cash to show for you girls that have came and turned it out and not fought, you know, the drugs. It's been there. It's not going to go away. You know, how people do it, things change with time. It's always going to be there. Some people feel that they need to take that bump. They need to take that pill to get that level of performance that they normally couldn't do without that. And the ones that don't, kudos to them because, you know, they're able to give that level of performance without those drugs. But it goes hand in hand. This is a subculture. This is an underground culture. And I think it's a beautiful thing, but it's turned so ugly over the past 5 to 8 years with the more money being pumped into ballroom, the more exposure ballroom has gotten to the mainstream, and that adds to it. It's kind of turned something that has been underground and beautiful into something more money-driven, more power-hungry, more power struggles. And that's really the main problem with the ballroom scene. If people just came out and would travel just for a trophy because they love the spirit of competition, the spirit of seeing their friends, the spirit of supporting something that they love, which is a whole bunch of gay people getting together and not feeling judged and being able to say, this is our thing and this is what we do. And, well, I'm not getting no money for it, but, you know, I'm able to have an experience that I can treasure and keep in my memories, and that's something that I can keep. You know, when a quarter comes around every 3 months, you have that big ball where the major promoters like yourself say, you know something, we're going to throw a ball where it's going to be cash categories. I think that will change the ballroom scene because it will show the people who, if you're not walking all these times for these trophies, then you clearly don't care about the ballroom scene. You just want to come out for the cash. You know, if you come out for the spirit of competition, you will see the people who enjoy creativity and you will see the people who enjoy to see their friends that they haven't seen from all over and kind of make it that community again. All that other stuff, the shade, that's part of the ballroom scene. It's not going to go away. But the violence, that's gotten out of control simply because of the cash behind the ballroom scene. It makes people act crazy. When you have things that are driven by money, you're going to have people teaming up on panel. You're going to have some really shady judging going on, and that's where the competition is gone because there's no need to compete because this person feels that I can't compete because, hey, they're going to give it as soon as this icon or this legend steps on the floor, they're going to get it anyway, so child, pay it. You know, if that legend or that icon is still competing not for cash and for that trophy against that other person, then you'll see the ballroom change, but only then.
Okay. Now, thank you so much for your input, caller. TJ, I'm going to go to you and then Rico and Tisha. TJ, what do you feel about what he just said? Do you feel, with you being who you are and your upcoming ball, do you feel that you have to add all that cash to your categories and more cash categories to be announced? Do you feel that that's what will bring you your crowd, or what do you feel?
Well, Brooklyn did have some good points, and honestly, yes, if you do not have those cash categories on your ball and you're not giving away cash for the main categories, you can already tell what your ball is going to get. No one is in it right now for the spirit of just the trophy or just coming to say, well, I got a rival that I want to sit so we can tie up and say I set this person this amount of times. So if you already know...
Rico, do you feel that, you know, you basically would travel only based on cash categories, or do you just travel for the thrill of it?
No, I actually travel for the thrill of it. Anybody that know me know I've traveled to plenty balls and not even walked. The thing of the matter is with me is I feel as if instead of, like he's saying, having cash for these certain balls throughout the year, put more, instead of having so many cash categories, put more of that cash towards your decor. A decor goes a long way, you know, elevated runway so everybody can get their money's worth, you know, have nice decoration on the tables that are cheap-ass plastic, Party City covers, you know, actually have prepared food on tables instead of bags of chips and things, and really put some type of oomph into it. It is a ball. You know, if people look into or Google a ball, you're going to see pictures of grandeur and opulence instead of ragtag Party City ornaments and things, you know? Give me a trophy I want to put in my china cabinet next to my Swarovski crystal instead of some little blinky-dink trophy from the dollar store.
Keisha, what's your feel about both of them?
I think they've all made some good points. And, you know, I was just thinking of an innovative idea. If we wanted to do away with all the cash categories, why not have, like, for example, of the year, every person who has win of the year, they should receive some type of incentive. And that will allow people to travel more because they know, listen, I want to get of the year so I can get that cash category. Boom. I was thinking about that, too. Of all the other years, there will be an incentive. So if you did away with all the cash categories and maybe try to increase, you know, that person of getting of the year, that's going to want that person to travel from state to state because when you get of that year, you're going to get an incentive.
Now, you know what? You guys are so on point with everything you're saying. All you icons and legends out there, as well as parents and leaders, do you guys hear what these people are saying? They are hitting everything on the nose. I know for a fact that there are some committees as far as different regions that do their of the years based on not only how many wins they have, but which person won larger grand prizes as well as far as cash goes. Keisha, you made a very good point. I think that'll give people the drive also. For example, I'm just using as an example. Please do not run with it. But, for example, you know, every of the year would get, like, $1,000 at that awards ball or something like that, or $5,000, you know, something in general, something to make you walk all year long because you're trying to get that goal, you know, get that one goal. Like, these bitches now, everyone's waiting for their tax return and filing taxes. Well, now you will wait for that awards ball because you know that that'll be that night you get that grand prize. And that's a good idea. And with Rico, yes,
Jasmine,
people will take more money.
Let me say this to you while you're on that note. And that goes also to say that if you give that person of the year, say, $500, then the house that wins the most trophies at that awards ball will get $5,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Keisha. Thanks, Keisha. But no, that's what we need to hear. You guys are very, very important, and you guys are hitting everything on the nose. And again, with Rico, people stop putting so much money into those cash categories to get people in the building and maybe put a little bit more into the core of the ball itself. Because like the caller said, getting into that ball, being around the girls that they haven't seen for a while, having fun, and all the rest of that stuff is what's important, not just walking, because everyone that goes is not a walker. Everyone that goes is, you know, we have a lot of spectators. When I give a ball, I have to make sure I'm not only catering to the judges and the people that are walking, but to the spectators as well. And TJ, an upcoming promoter who's doing balls and stuff right now, feels that he has to. At this point, because of the way the ballroom scene is now, he has to have these categories for X amount of dollars because he feels that is the only way that these girls are going to come to that ball because no one is trophy-driven. No one is actually going out there creating and being creative and going out there for that trophy and the traveling and things of that sort. So you guys are hitting it right on the nose. We're going to go to another caller, 678-830. You're on the air.
Hello, Jasmine, and everybody else on the line. This is Lala. How you doing, sweetie?
Hi.
I don't know where to begin. It's like so much. Every time I wanted to say something, somebody else brought up another point. But what I really wanted to say is I understand the cash and all that other kind of stuff. But for me, the reason why I don't just look at the bottom scene up here is because, for me, the family and the education part is gone. It's fine to win the cash. It's fine to do all the stuff you're talking about. But at the end of the day, when you all go home and some of the girls are in one apartment, all stunning, and escorting online to pay for that apartment, and nobody has a GED, including some of your house parents, to me, that's the important part to me. Like, when is the point when we're going to get together and try to fund, have programs to help the kids in the ballroom scene who need that kind of help? At the end of the day, this is supposed to be something fun. At the end of the day, it's very few that have really made it lucrative and have done something with it, like Laomi, other people who model. The other one that's always on the show that you said is in theater and does things of that nature. Then I can understand you are benefiting and taking your craft outside to real life. In the beginning, you know, it was supposed to be a place for you to come and have a fantasy and, you know, get away from the stress of real life. But at the end of the day, when you come back and through them doors, it's not that case, because as soon as you come through that door, they're ripping you apart. Especially if they don't know you, and the first thing they're going to say is, oh, shade is love. No, it's not love. Being shady is not love, because, and sometimes they do it to certain people that they don't know, because people that they do try that is quote-unquote important, that person gets popped. But if you are a not, as they call you, and somebody disrespects you and you want to say something, you're wrong for that. You know, I feel like, to me, that's why I don't just shine upon it. It's just like the family aspect is gone. The leaders and house parents, there's no structure in their house. I've talked to many people in the ballroom scene. We have conversations all the time, and sometimes we agree, disagree, and they say, well, this is not what it's about. Well, every time I watch Paris is Burning, what I've seen in that movie and what I see now is two different aspects of things. It's two different, it's totally two different things. It's not about family. It's about you know, who's fab or who I can come snatch up, who can I come do this, and okay, if you don't give my life over here, I get on the phone and call boo-boo-coo-hoo, and I'll go over there and be in her house. She didn't want me to come over there anyway, but since you tried me on the panel, I'm going to go join her house. Or you want to make me overall mother, that's cute, I'll go be your prodigy. You know, all this other kind of foolishness is just like, you know, just, you know, crazy. But at the same time, it is a competition, because, you know, I do pageants and compete and things of that nature. And at the end of the day, the ballroom scene has become a cash pot for everybody. It's become a cash pot for promoters and new promoters, you know, like TJ. It's become a cash pot for a lot of people who walk. At the end of the day, you know, somebody looking at a calendar that says 5 balls this month. I plan on going to these 5 balls, storm it, and do what I have to do, and you're going to make your money. You know what I'm saying? So at the same time, sometimes it's a competition. An NBA player is not going to play NBA all year round, if he's not, even though he enjoys what he's doing. But at the end of the day, you're going to want some kind of, you know, gratification for what you're doing. Now, it is some girls that just hop, they go everywhere, just go everywhere. I just kind of disagree with that, because sometimes people have big cash categories to get people to come, or they have big cash categories and they work with a commentator or a certain, you know, legendary icon and say, well, you put me on a panel and make sure your house come through, you know, we'll work out the details for cash prize. So it's a lot of politics and shadiness when it comes to that. But at the end of the day, I think that goes to the promoter. If you sit with the people that in your function that you invited and you let them know this is how the role is going to roll, and whether you like me or not, or chop my kids from this day forth, at the end of the day, I'm giving up my money, and I'm not going to allow you to sit in my domain for this night and fuck over my money, fuck over my reputation, and fuck over how the people in the ballroom see perceive me. Because if I put my money in anything, at the end of the day, I want everybody to respect me. I'm not going to try to appease this person or appease this person. Right is right and wrong is wrong. These are still consumers, and you want your consumers to keep coming back and having a good rapport with you. You wouldn't go to a restaurant if every time you go to that restaurant, they treat you like shit. So once we stop as consumers supporting bullshit will stop happening. That's just how I feel about it.
And
well,
you actually make
so
a good point
now
about that. If the promoters would actually step up and actually run their ball correctly, they're supposed to, you wouldn't have all that excess shade and people saying, oh, that ball is a fool because X, Y, and Z happens. Most promoters, they get there. Jack, some of the competitors, they let them run free, do what they want to. The judges, they interpret what the category says. If there's a category sheet, you should go by what that category sheet says, not what your interpretation of it is. if the promoters actually stood up at the front of their bars, like Jasmine and I've seen a couple of people do at their bar, right there, you know what you're looking for. If this is not brought correctly, there's 7, 5, 9, whatever amount of judges you got up there. Don't let these assholes give away your money because they just want to give it to their girlfriend to say, okay, bitch, my girlfriend's a $1,000 winner or X, Y, and Z.
And as far as you were saying about the kid situation, I totally agree with you. As too many of these leaders are not great examples. You know, me, myself, somebody who, you know, trying to groom and nurture some people in and out of the scene, I stopped selling, you know, a lot of the people, I stopped selling dope to be a better example and, you know, went back to school and did other things of that nature. I think a lot of people should try to do things to become better leaders and better examples. You know, and that's why you have so many house hoppers, because a lot of hot parents are nurturing their kids, you know what I'm saying? Helping them find jobs, or even if doing it so much as little as, you know, landing them up or helping them with their hair or giving them advice. A lot of them aren't taking the time out to do that. You know, they look at them as a trophy instead of a mentee or a friend, you know?
And to piggyback on what you're saying, a lot of these house parents out here need to understand the first thing to being a house parent, you have to be a parent first. There's no reason why half the shit that these house parents are doing, you can go out here and see your average 17, 18-year-old out here doing, but this is supposed to be the person that you're putting in charge to run this chapter and run your house. You have to be a parent first before you say you're a house parent.
Right, like how can you have a house and you don't even have a house of your own? I know so many leaders are sleeping on couches and pillar to post, but you're a leader of a house. You know, have an address before you decide to run a house.
Wow. All right, we're going to go to the next caller, Alexis. You're on the line.
Hi, Jasmine. How are you?
Hi, Alexis.
Hey, RR. Hey, TJ.
Hey, how you doing?
Everybody else.
Hey.
I can't remember who else is on the line. I've been listening for quite some time now, and so much I need to say. First of all, ballroom is all about shade. Even back from Paris is Burning, it's always been a shady set. You know, the commentators, they get on the microphone, they're going to say whatever, you know, they feel or whatever. And it's been going on since the ballroom has started. So I don't think that's going to change no time soon as far as the shade is concerned. Now, as far as the cash, now, I do remember looking at a couple of VHS tapes, and they weren't calling for much. So, of course, you know, you would have a lot of people that would come to a ball, and they might walk for whatever the category was calling for, because it really wasn't calling for nothing. But now you have categories where they want you to spend. You have to spend so much money, so in when you spend your money, then what you expect your money back. You understand what I'm saying? If Runway is calling for haute couture and you go out and spend X amount of dollars in the categories for $1,500, then wouldn't you expect your money back?
But see, instead of going out to spend all that money, why not invest in a little $50, $40 sewing machine and learn how to create garments and pieces yourself and go out and get a little knick-knack?
Everybody doesn't possess those talents.
But what we were quick playing, Alexis, what these girls, you can put a category for however amount of dollars, that same effect is going to be recycled about 8 or 9 different times by the girls, their girlfriends, and their girlfriend's girlfriend.
I mean,
so regardless of however much the category is or not, they still not going to put no effort into it. They go craft whatever they want to say that it was $500, $600, $700, $800. A lot of people are not really going out here spending the cash to buy this stuff. This stuff is all black market stuff these days. So they go sit here and recycle the same outfit over and over and over again. When you come out there, you can already know, child, didn't such and such just wear it at the Collections Ball in 2009 and now it's being redone back in 2010 at the Icon Ball?
But now there are some people that actually spend their money to get themselves together for their category.
Very rarely.
Not going to say that there are a lot of them, but there are a few people that actually spend their money. When you ask for gowns and beads and feathers, you know, people actually go out, they may do whatever they have to do to get it, but they spend their money to get ready for this function. You know, and I remember there have been times when I have seen, once again, someone said earlier, there has been legends and icons who have stage fight set functions, so they don't have to give out all their coins. They get, make sure everybody gets in the door, and then they have this big hoopla about the police is here and this, that, next, and the third. And it's just a lot. But then you want to come down, you want to look at the younger generation and drag on them or give them much about wanting to be in a position of power or trying to do something to bring a new era into the scene when all you're doing is recycling the old shit that's doing nothing but creating chaos.
That is so true.
We're going to take a private caller really quickly. Alexis, you can stay right there. Private caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I was calling because I have a couple issues that I would like to say. For one, I think the problem in the ballroom scene is the status, because coming from somebody from the new generation just stepping into the ball scene, I see that there's a lot of shade. You know, the balls used to be fun. Like everybody say, you watch on VHS, you go back to the older days. They did. It used to be fun. You come in, it was a competition. Now with so much shade going on, even for spectators, even if you don't know nothing about a ball, it's still shade. You know, everybody's jealous. Everybody has girlfriends. Everybody is going to want to have their girlfriends win or their best friends win. One of the callers spoke earlier, it's not about family no more. That's where we should get back to the whole root. The whole reason why the ball started was because we were so rejected by the outside world that we felt comfortable with ourselves, but with so much jealousy, so much hatred, so much shade, and with the time just moving, you know, every day there's something new, the ball is changing. So therefore, we have all these problems because of status. This, when you guys were speaking of giving only the of the year's cash, don't y'all see that as being a problem too? I mean, I think it is a good idea, but at the same time, the people legendary status is still being questioned now. So don't you think people of the year statuses will be questioned also? Don't you think if one of your house members walk, I can chop them because I need my child to walk and win so she can be of the year, so she can get this money? You know, everything is just so money-driven, so grief-driven, so status-driven, and they took all the fun out of the balls. I don't think that there's too many balls because everybody can't travel. No one is telling you to run to each and every ball. But at the same time, you have to make up what you're going to do in your life. A ball is a choice. Everything we do in life is a choice. You choose not to go. You choose to go. You choose to get out of bed or you choose to lay there. So everybody throwing balls is not the problem. The legends and the icons are the problems. I've been a spectator for almost 3 years. I done been at balls. I love Tony Revlon down, but I done seen him sat in the middle of the panel, and the whole judges panel went about him, how he wanted them to judge. That's shade coming from somebody who's new. That's why they started the Kiki scene. Kids, the newer generation started the Kiki scene because they were so tired. They did not want to come to a ball to be rejected because they were a nobody. To where they took the ball and made it a Kiki scene to where they can go and have fun. They can go and relax like they used to do in the 80s, in the early 90s. They can go back and sit down and they ain't got to worry about, oh, this girl is going to try it on a panel because my house father beat up one of their members. That's what it is. And with these house parents, they're not looking as kids no more. They're grabbing these people for trophies and for money because they think that you can turn it for their house. Everything is just so politicked and so stereotype now that we will never get back to where we used to be. The ballroom is not going to change unless someone gets up and start to change. We have a million shows a day. We can voice our opinions, but until everybody is ready, the ball is still going to go down drain. It is still going to sit here. We're still going to have fights. Even if you don't put cash categories on your flyers, it's still about status. If you don't have status, you can give out $20,000. If don't nobody know who the hell you are, ain't nobody gonna come to your ball. And I've sat here, and I've sat here, and I've seen this, I've witnessed this so many times, and it really pisses me off because I'm young. I'm coming from the new generation, and everybody want to say, oh, it's the new generation that's doing this, and the new generation kids want to come in and do this. No, we're not doing nothing. We're coming in, and we're going with the motion. We're doing the ball as the ball is. When we come in, this is how the ball is. So, therefore, to survive in the ball, because now that's what it is. When you come to a ball, it's more of a survival instead of a competition. It's like, oh, am I going to beat them or are they going to beat me? Am I going to slap this bitch if they're going to try this? And, no, it's not. It shouldn't even be like that no more. I mean, you can sit here and say all the solutions you want to, but at the end of the day, still next week, the ball is still going to be the same. You're still going to have people who's going to come to the ball and be jealous because they're just jealous people. That's just their MO. They're just not going to like you anyway. People is always going to question status, but it is so much emphasis on status nowadays, and that's the real problem. You think when you come in the ball scene, you have to be somebody to get noticed or to get respect, and it should not be like that because you're driving the kids away from the ball, and that's just bringing more drama and more turmoil to the balls because everybody is running after status instead of running after this goal of us being in unity.
Okay, let me ask you a question, caller. Do you walk balls now?
Yes, I do. I've been walking balls and spectating. I've been traveled. I've been to
now,
New York.
Are you one of those ones who are fighting for status and demanding
status? Let me tell you, my very first ball I walked, I was chopped, and I did not give a fuck about being chopped. I turned around, I put my clothes back on, and I enjoyed for paying my $30 for the rest of the ball. When I step in front of a judge's panel, I don't give a fuck if they choose me. I don't give a fuck if I win. I don't even care about the trophy. I come to the ball because there's somewhere I can relax. From my Monday to my Friday life, from when I'm doing all of my work and I'm going through all my bullshit, when I come to the ball, this is my time to parlay with a little drugs. I have a job. I do drugs and I still have a job. So just because kids do drugs doesn't mean they don't have a job. But I come to the ball to relax. I come to the ball because I put up this front out here in the real world to where I can relax myself, let my hair down at a ball, be around people who I feel comfortable around, where I can be myself, and then go back home with a clear state of mind and say, all right, it's time for me to get back to business. I don't care
year. What would you suggest to people that are in your position, not pointing the fingers and saying what the problem is, because we all know what the problem is. We all have our opinions on the problem. But what would you suggest to people that are like you, that work, that go to the balls, that let their hair down, that don't give a fuck, they still hit that runway? What would you suggest to them, the ones that are just standing there now, they don't want to compete no more, they're over it, they're leaving the ballroom scene, they have given up? What would you suggest to them? What would you tell them to do?
I'll tell them to do what I do. Don't care what nobody else say. Don't fuck everybody at this ball, because at the end of the day, when the ball is over with, I do not have to see you guys no more. I do not have to talk to you. You do it because you love it. If you let someone drive you away from something, you don't have a genuine like slash love for it. Being the ball, let's say the ball. If you come to the ball and walk because you love balls, do that. Don't give a fuck if you win. Don't give a fuck if you lose. Don't care if you get chop or whatever. Do it because that's what you want to do. Don't let nobody change you or run you away, because it's always going to be BS and it's always going to be drama. We are not going to live in a world where there's no drama. So therefore, don't let the stuff that happens discourage you from getting up there walking balls, which that's what is happening. A lot of people are discouraged. A lot of people are scared because, like a caller said, I'll get up here and a legend or an icon to get on the stage and automatic hands down, grand prize legend slash or icon, and it's just like, damn, you don't give a fuck about me. But I don't care. I really don't. And I'm trying to tell everybody else, if we're going to make a change, let's be different. Let's start something different, because everybody who's talking, ain't nobody doing nothing. If one person does lead, that's what we need, leaders, somebody who is really going to lead us. Let's break. If we want to change it, we need one person to start the change. If one person can start it, everybody else will follow. But with everybody just talking and nobody's trying to, because as many people who will call up here and voice their opinions, at the end of the day, they're still going to worry about what their girlfriend's going to say. They're still going to do what ballroom is giving now, because they know that's what they have to do to make their ball successful. No, why don't you be different? Why don't you think outside the box?
Well, caller, I want to say thank you for calling in and expressing your opinion, and you really expressed it. You really, really hit it on the nose. I got a couple of people calling in. TJ, did you have anything to say really quickly? Or Rico, Keisha?
Yeah, he made a valid point. One thing that really needs to stop happening, too, the icons and legends. We got icons and legends who sit up there, you know, as their kids walk in, they intimidate the judges. They punk bitch the judges just to make sure their house gets the vote. And we all know who they are. They do it at every single ball, especially when it's a cash category. They will stand right up at that panel and look you dead in your face, every single judge, one by one, as you're doing your vote. And if you don't give that, if you don't give them their kid that vote, then if some shade gonna come up, or the next category come up, your house is gonna get chopped or some shit like that. So one thing that I think we need to implement is all this. If you're not walking and you're not a judge, you don't need to be on that panel or near the panel. The judges should not be having to deal with somebody to their side saying, okay, this one needs to get voted for, or someone standing in their face intimidating them to vote. Because honestly, that's taking the fun out of it. If I know I'm about to get up here, let's say if I was walking Vogue and I'm about to walk against Vic Prodigy, I know for a fact Ronnie's about to stand up there and intimidate the judges. What's the point of me walking for? Because I know I'm not going to win.
I totally agree with him on that. Like, for example, the first time I ever walked a major bar, I had, you know, it was like you had to bring like a drug dealer or whatever, and I had threw some money at the judges panel, and when we got up there and they was giving us our votes, and they got to the person I was walking against, their house member, they was like, clear as day, give me some money and I'll vote for you. Like, what? You know, and I've had people come to me in the background and be like, yeah, I voted for you, can you hook me up? You know, this is back when I was saying, oh, I voted for you, can you hook me up? Or, you know, it's really a girlfriend panel in a lot of cities, you know, where you had the same 5-6 judges on the panel at any given time. You know, I think a lot of promoters need to start switching their panel up, inviting a lot more people from out of town to come and sit on the panel instead of it be Judy, instead of you walking against somebody and their brother, sister, auntie, uncle, and granny all on the panel.
They need to bring people in from out of town. How about this? You got spectators who come to the balls who watch the ball. Instead of putting the same 5-6 people up here, you don't necessarily have to go out of town to recruit people. How about the bitch that's been coming to balls for 6 years that don't walk the spectate? They know what they look for. What was the sightness of them? Who's bringing it? Put them on the panel.
You got to be
like
careful.
My ball last year, everyone thought it was mighty funny. I had people from a little bit of everyone on the panel. Everyone so here used to Detroit. You have Janie, Sebastian, Goddess, Sean Odom, Coney, Mooka, all these people on the panel. When it came to my ball, I didn't do it. I don't put the same people on the panel, because when you get these same girlfriend panels and the same people on the panels, they know, okay, well, bitch, I got this vote, I got that vote, I got this vote. You know who they vote for. These are the people who they see. They have a rhythm and a pattern for the people who they vote for. If you switch your panel to see it, you can see who's just getting through because they're local and the locals are seeing it.
I think the problem is that people are afraid that if they don't, like someone said earlier, have a mother or father from a prestigious house with a lot of members on the panel, that house won't come to their ball. Because I know back in the day, you didn't know who was judging the ball until you got there, and the mothers and fathers didn't know who was judging until you got there, and they would pull numbers out of a bag or something, and whatever number they called for those 7 judges, those were the judges that were judging for the night.
Good idea.
So everybody,
that's a good idea, because to me, I don't understand this, where people feel that you need to be legendary or you need to have some type of status or merit to judge. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to judge. If you can see what's really a sight to you, who's really eating this category, who's doing something that's striking the eye to judge. You don't need to have a house parent on it, and that's one thing that I hate. Do not come to my function and come to me and say, well, I'm from the house of these two, and I feel that we should have a judge on both panels. Now, me, since you came up to me and said it, your ass not getting on the panel at all, because no one ever wrote and said that you have to have representation on the panel. Is your house that horrible that you need to be represented on the panel
quick,
to get one vote?
Real quick, to piggyback on that, I think it was Kelly that said a few weeks ago that when the Couture kids first came out, there was no Couture on the panel at all, and all 4 kids won their categories. So a lot of times people have to understand, if you really have faith in your house and you have faith in your kids, you should try to test your own faith and not even want to be on the panel, just to see from a distance on the outside looking in, how powerful are my kids?
All right, let's go to another caller. 804-397, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. I forgot I was even on the queue, but the last caller had said everything I was going to say. That's all.
All right. Well, thank you, caller.
Jasmine. I want to say something. When they were talking about the of the years and giving the of the years cash, like an incentive for winning of the year,
mm-hmm.
you have some alliances that can't even afford trophies for their awards ball. So how can you even expect them to even pay out a cash incentive at the end of the year? That's going to cause more problems.
Somebody be talking about Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I'm not even talking about just Pittsburgh. It's several alliances that I have known that call, and I'm going to use Marcus's word, contractors to purchase their trophies. You know, I mean, and they don't want to even pay for the trophies. They want to get these little bullshit ass trophies where they can pay. You know, it's just a lot. The thing is this. Like I said, I remember once upon a time when the category was something you bring it, however they ask for it, and the girls, and it may have been $200. And you have 10, 15 girls at the back of the runway. Now, if you can put $1,000 and you might not even get two or three girls. And the funny thing is you have ball promoters. Like, okay, I'm going to use, for example, in Atlanta they had a ball with Big Girl Faces for $5,000. And the girls were there. All the big girls was in the building. And the fight broke out, and it was like they got everything under control, and then all of a sudden, ball over. But then you have these girls who are back here who don't come out that often, you understand what I'm saying, because they have been walking for years. And now they have spent all this hard-earned money, because these girls actually work. They have a regular 9-to-5s. These girls have actually worked hard to pull their effect together. And they don't even get to showcase their talent.
But that's where when you do a big category like that and you expect for these girls to be there, you make that the first category of the night. You don't put it in the middle of your ball. If you got your money, you got your money.
It wasn't in the middle of the ball. But it wasn't that far into the ball where it was a lot that night. But I was just using that as an example. You know, I just feel like the ballroom scene has evolved from what it used to be. When I came out in 2004, I remember somebody, it was a family. Mm-hmm. You know, if you had problems, but when I had problems, I went to Fred and Shay Shay and we talked, and they gave me advice, whatever I needed to do. I went to Brandon at that time, Ultra Army, and Revlon at that time, Ultra Army, and gave me advice. The kids don't even know who are members of their house. They couldn't even tell you who, they don't even know the history of their house. They don't know that R.R. was the first person that started the House of Chanel, and Terry, once R.R. fell on hard times, Terry was the one that kept the house going. People don't even know that. People don't even know that Larry is one of the ones that founded it. You understand what I'm saying? People don't even know what are they getting themselves into.
Okay, now listen to what you're saying, Alexis, and I agree with you 100%. So listen to what you're saying. You are basically saying that these kids do not even know their history, right?
They don't.
So who do you blame for that?
Me personally, if I'm going to get involved in something, I want to know what I'm getting myself involved into.
Okay, now, but you're right. That's how the majority of people should be.
When I became Chanel,
just like with the job, you should want to know a little bit about your job. You know, how do you know you're not going to get hired at a company that's going to go out of business a month later? Do a little bit of history research on that job. It's the same thing with your house.
I remember when I became a Chanel, RR took us in his apartment on was that Piedmont RR?
Mm-hmm.
He gave us the whole lesson. You understand what I'm saying? And I felt more comfortable. But you have people that don't even know where their house came from. You don't have people You have people that don't even know members of their house. You have people that sit on the judges panel that chop their kids because they don't even know that's a member of their house. Their parents, their leaders. The houses have gotten so big that you can't even keep up. You don't even know sometimes who the overall mother or father is of the house.
They're more so obsessed with quantity over quality.
Yeah.
And that's the Legends of Icons' fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say just the Legends of Icons. It's honestly the leaders, anyone who's in a leader position who doesn't take the time to embody the values of the house and what's going on with it. If you're just putting people in your house just to get a trophy so you can say, my kids did this, my kids did that, well, you get what you get. That's just like anything. What you put into it is what you're able to pull out. If you're just putting people in to put people in, you can only pull out what you get, the background. Okay, this kid got chopped. Damn, I live in California. I took my child to New York, and the New York father didn't even know who they was, and they chopped them because they didn't see the performance. Damn, why you chopped my child? Well, you never introduced us, and we don't know who this kid is, so don't feel bad. Evidently, their performance wasn't what it was.
Another thing, you know, I think leaders should be held responsible for their kids. If your kid
And that's my point. That's what I was saying to you.
Let me use this for example. Sanaya's on the panel, right? You have a kid from L.A. who's walking Vogue Film, and she chops it. First of all, she don't even know that they're in their house. And the performance is a fool. Well, the leader from that chapter needs to be held responsible because what are you doing? Are you making sure that this child is ready to walk, or are you just bringing this child here because they say they want to walk? You know,
people are just putting people in houses just for the title.
Right. They're not even taking the time to groom their kids to make sure that the kids are ready for their category.
That's because they're just trying to collect kids that can come out and show face. That's it. You know, it's like you just said, there's no more family unity and there's no more mentoring. You have to mentor. And it's just not just mentor inside of the ballroom, but like the gentleman said, help them get a GED, help them get a high school diploma. You know, and if they get these things that they need, give them an incentive that they can walk a big ball then. But until then, you got to walk a Kiki ball. If you did good in school this week, you can go to the Kiki ball on Saturday. You know, you graduated from high school, now you're ready. I'll take you to a big ball. You know,
like, incentives. Even other houses respect you based on numbers. Like, when I had first, you know, debuted the house that, you know, I've started, people were saying, oh, you only got 5 or 6 members. That's not a real house. That's a Kiki house. Well, here, every house start for so is based on how many members you got on the respect that you'll get, because people say, well, oh, okay, well, if this person got this many members, I know I'm going to have X, Y, and Z amount of people at my bar. It's all these back to a dollar.
I'm going to give you a little quick example, then you can go on with your calls real quick. Ayana, here's a person who was a ballroom favorite through the years, a beauty. But she went to school, and she got her degree, and she got her doctorates, and now she's a doctor. But guess what? She's still doing balls, but she went out and led by example.
Okay, so let's do another caller. 917-627, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Jasmine, or everyone else. I'm actually calling as, you can say, like a professional spectator. I've been going to balls since, like, the 90s, so the older people kind of know the difference from then till now. I would say
Have you walked a ball before?
Like a couple, like, you know, just for fun, but really just more for spectating. Nothing like ever, never been in part of any house or anything like that.
Okay.
So as seen as this thing, I would say now ballroom is completely, it should be called Ballroom Inc. Because basically ballroom is now a business. There is no family. There's no creativity. There's nothing but the money. It seems that everything is governed by what can I get, how much am I going to get, am I going to, almost like Linda Evangelista, am I going to get out of bed for $10,000 or not? Because I've seen balls where people have these categories, and it's the money. And I know so many people throughout the scene, those different houses, I have no affiliation, so I kind of have that ability to kind of just get to know people for who they are as opposed to for their house. And people say, like, the craziest thing sometimes, like, oh, well, it's not enough money, I'm not going to walk. But I'm like, well, back in the day, you used to run to a ball just for the fun of it. But now you feel the need that whether you have some sort of status or some sort of criteria that you're too good for it, which I don't understand. And it's like, I've been listening, like, you know, to the show for, like, a long time. Like, I literally have a list sitting here of all the things that I wanted to bring up. Regarding, like, the icons and legends, the bottle that's been going on, that's all based around money. I think it's the more legends and icons you can have in your house, that's the more income you can get. If you're not an icon, you're not a legend, you're not going to get called out, you're not going to win. So, of course, everyone's going to fight for status because if I have the status, that gives me more of a chance of winning money. And the only reason why I'm at a ball is to win money. Second thing, I think the real power nowadays lies with the promoters and the commentators. I mean, what would the scene be if there was not a ball being thrown? If there was no promoters, where would everybody go? They would be sitting in their living rooms voguing. So if someone as a promoter is actually being more diligent about making more creative categories, not giving cash, being a little bit more hands-on in regards to security, to being a little bit more aware of what's happening on their panel, then you wouldn't have a lot of the issues. And I think a lot of times people want to blame the people who are walking, but as a promoter, I think if you have, like, real control over your event, you can avoid a lot of the problems that happen, whether it be fights, whether it be shady judging in the panels, whether it just be total chaos, you know, the drugs, everything. I mean, that's what you're there for. You know, if your name is stamped on something, you should have enough respect to make your event the best it can be. Mm-hmm. If you're inviting people to come to an event and you're charging them this amount of money and you're giving them a table with one bottle of water and, you know, some cheap dust ruffle, I mean, who wants to do that? And as a spectator, I'm not getting any financial gain. I mean, I've been giving my money away since the 90s. I'm only coming out because I actually want to meet people. I want to see creative people. I want to see almost, it's almost like a show. You want to see the magic of it all. Like, I don't want to see people fighting. I don't want to see people bumping next to me. I don't want to be inhaling people's weed smoke. I actually want to be focused on the event. And these days, it's like you have to have, like, eyes behind your head to make sure what's going around you so you're not involved in some, like, you know, catastrophe.
Let me ask you a question. How long you been going to balls, you said?
Since the 90s.
Okay. And when you used to pick a ball in the 90s, which were, like, how did you pick the balls that you went to because you knew it was going to be exciting and fun and you had something to look forward to?
Usually they were, either I was going to the clubhouse, which was, you know, kind of like your kind of like Vogue nights of today, but people were actually coming out in drones because they were coming out because they just wanted to vote. They wasn't, you know, worried about like getting these like large cash amounts. They just wanted to compete. They wanted to better themselves, you know, better themselves in their category. They wanted to, you know, see their friends. You know, you were coming from like Christopher Street. It was more like a hangout thing. It wasn't like it was this major thing where like I'm going to destroy this one tonight or I don't see her or. Like, you know, you would battle on the people, battle on the floor, but afterwards, people would be laughing and hugging and, you know, kissing each other on the cheek and walking away and, you know, living their lives.
And that was those were mini balls, right?
Yeah. And then
you had fun. And then when you had to look forward to a major house ball, which houses, just to throw names out, if you had to name four houses, which houses you knew that the ball was going to be fun packed and all the girls were going to come out?
Four houses, I would say. Like all your major ones, whether it be Chanel's, whether it be Mizrahi, whether it be Extravaganza, whether it be all the older ones, not their newer ones that they have now. And most, a lot of my friends that I would see, you know, out and about would say, oh, are you going to this ball? And they would tell me what's going on because they were people that were in the scene. I would say, oh, okay, cool. I'm going to the ball because I would trust the people that I was around. Like the people I hung out with, I thought they were some substance.
And everything that you thought those particular houses were going to do for that ball, when you got there, it was exactly what you thought or more, right?
Completely. This is like when Eric was still alive. You know, I knew Eric. Like, you know, I would see him, like, say, like, Escalito on the street, and he'd be like, oh, I'm going to be doing this ball. You should come. And I'm like, oh, definitely. Well, people are giving out flyers in the street, and they're actually talking about the ball and, like, you know, actually advertising as opposed to just these balls that happen every other day where I'm like, well, where are people getting all this money? I mean, this costs, you know, $30.
And you know something? I'm not to cut you off. I'm just glad you mentioned Eric's name because if you remember Eric on the mic, he made everybody feel special. If it was the first time ever walking to the person who's been walking for years, he didn't slight anybody in their merits of what they were doing, and he gave everybody something special that they felt like, I want to come to the next ball, even if they didn't win.
And he was a total sweetheart. Like, that's what I don't understand now. Like, if you're a spiritual person, like, if you go to certain balls now and just open yourself up spiritually, there's such a darkness that's like permeating the whole scene. Like back in the day, you know, there was shade and people would say stuff, but it was done in a way where you didn't feel like you were trying to destroy me. Like, you know, it was sort of kind of like, you know, just a cattiness. Now people seem like they are trying to like eradicate you, like kill your spirit, which I don't understand because kids are so young. And I'm like, if you're this jaded and this mad now, like how are you going to be when you get older? Like I don't understand. Why do you continue to be in the scene if it does nothing but tear you down and there's no one to build you up? Like say like the house of like latex. They used to call them a kinky house. They used to read them, but they were about something. You know, they had people within there that were trying to do something for the community. Now a lot of houses, I'm like, what is your house even about other than just trying to snatch money? Like, do you know most of the members in your house? Do you care about them? Does your so-called, you know, parents of the house care about you? It's like it's almost like you're an employee of the parent. It's like, I don't understand if you're a parent, how your child can come to a function and they smell, they have the same clothes they've had on for God knows how long, they haven't eaten, but you want to tell them to get up there on that runway and walk and win that money so we can split it. Like, that's not a family. That's like a business. That's why I said it's like Ballroom Inc. now. I'm like, where's the love? Where's the camaraderie? Where's the mentorship? I don't get it. And I think, unfortunately, the money.
I want to say thank you. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm going to come back to you. But I do have a lot of other callers on hold. I want to get to one last call before we take a commercial break. And then we'll come back to a couple of repeats as well. 704-224, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, everybody. This is Lawrence Chanel.
Hey,
Lawrence. How y'all doing? I've been listening to, you know, a couple of my peers, and, you know, for the most part, I pretty much agree with everything that everybody is saying. But one thing that I really wanted to kind of bring up is that I keep hearing everybody keep saying that it's a lot of shade, it's a lot of shade. I mean, from coming up in this scene and, you know, from learning from my mentors of, you know, what I've been taught, it's always been shade in the scene. And I don't think that it's anything wrong with the shade. I think it's more so the respect factor that's going on. Like, I think that's the actual problem. It's not, you know, I mean, everybody know with ballroom there's going to come shade. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know how we would have ballroom without shade. But one thing that the way that I feel is that the torch has been dropped. Coming from the icons to the legends, and that's just spilling over into the statements, into the stars. I really don't have a solution, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what to say as far as a solution or how it could be changed or whatever. I just feel as though it's just something that over time has just snowballed. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And I think like everybody's been saying, money is the root of all evil. You know what I'm saying? The money is a major factor, and respect is the other. And I mean, I don't know. I just really been just listening.
Lawrence, let me ask you a question, because you have been around for a while, and you are a major competitor and stuff. How do you pick and choose your balls?
I don't know. Honestly, I go to any and everybody's ball. No shade. I really don't. I mean, if the time is available, then I'll be there. I don't say, oh, well, this ball is, I mean, now, I'm not going to lie and say that. I'm not going to say, oh, well, this ball is giving out this amount of money. I'm going to be there. That would make it more of a priority for me to be there. But I've walked plenty of balls where, as though I did. Coming from my first category, which was Schoolboy Realness, up until the time where you gave the $5,000 out for Schoolboy Realness, I think before then was, what, the $1,000, the little Tony one? They really wasn't giving money out like that for Schoolboy Realness. You know what I'm saying? So I was coming to the balls for the trophy and for the, you know, the competitive spirit. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't know. I go to everybody's ball. I mean, the money does play a little factor in it. I mean, because, I mean, keeping it real, but I just like walking balls. I like competing. I just have fun with it.
Well, how do you feel about, you know, the power hungry and the politics and the you know, the status, you know, struggles that people are going for, do you feel that you will gain more respect if it was Lawrence, you know, the Twister, the schoolboy, or if it was Lawrence the Legend?
Honestly, I look at it as though I'm the type of person coming from just my real life. I'm the type of person that demands respect regardless, and that's why a lot of people don't like me, because I demand respect. You know what I'm saying? And so even if I was Lawrence the Legend, Lawrence the whatever, I just couldn't see myself just putting myself out there to be disrespected. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question, honestly. I just feel like the people who brought me to this and instill certain things into me that I did brought to the floor that just can't be denied. I feel like it's just a certain way. You know what I'm saying? I encourage people, especially new people that come to the scene, to not go out there and be intimidated by the legends or the it girls. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Honestly, I don't know, because I've never, quote unquote, been non-factor. I mean, I'm not gonna say I just came to the scene with a name. I'm not, I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I just came to the scene with a name, but my upbringing and the path that I took was, you know, I guess beneficial for me. I don't know.
You know what, Jasmine? This is how I look at the status thing. Status is out like being loved. If you don't carry yourself like a legend or icon, then nobody's going to respect you as one. You have a lot of people that don't even know who some of the legends and icons are, but they know some of the girls that are turning their categories.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, to me, at the end of the day, I don't even walk ball. To me, I have been walking ball since 2004, and I have traveled state to state, and it was just all for competition, because they didn't never put cash on drags runners when I was walking in, or a fifth wheel runners for that fact, you know. So it was just for the hell of it, you know, just to say, oh, I went there and I walked and I won. But if you carry yourself, when you step in the building, there were people who knew who I was, and I'd never even been in that state.
Right.
Now, maybe they knew me for other reasons or whatever, but, I mean, it was just like, because I demanded my respect when I went there, it was just like, okay, that's so-and-so-and-so-and-so. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And maybe because I hung with a certain breed of girls that, you know, my name was spoke of with those people. Like Lauren says, because of the people that brought me into the scene and groomed me and made me to who I am, that my name still is a household name. Everybody may not know who I am, but I promise you, if you put 10 girls in one region together, at least two of those girls know who I am.
Exactly. You know what, Alexis, you said that. What Alexis said is what I was trying to say. And something else that she said before I got on the line, knowing the history, you know what I'm saying, touching back on that, that plays a major part. A lot of people get into this scene and they don't even know what they're getting themselves into. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even understand how you could be in the scene and you've never even seen Paris is Burning. You know what I mean? It's like, how are you out here trying to excel in something if you don't even know what it is? You have to master your craft. You have to study it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, this is extracurricular, but in anything that I do, I'm going to put my best foot forward. You know what I'm saying? So it's no need of you going out there not knowing what you're doing. And a lot of people come into this thing unprepared. And that's why they get shaded, or that's why they are so easily shaded, because they don't understand the craft in this scene. You know what I'm saying? You can't take everything personally, or you know, it's, I don't know.
You can't even do the
I want you guys to stand right here. Lawrence, I'm going to keep you on. I'm not going to mute you. I do want you to speak and be a part of this. I'm going to play a commercial break, and then I do have a special guest that will be coming on next, who has been a part of the ballroom scene, and she is pretty much well-known across this country. And she is not a legend or an icon, but she does have some points that she wants to address as well, and we're going to give her some questions as far as everything is going as well. We'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
The Cleveland Hawks' birthday ball, too. February 18th. 2012. 54 Ledge Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio, 44509. Commentators for the evening, legendary Kevin Jay-Z Prodigy, and Let's Sway Jerry on. $25 all night. Doors open at 10 o'clock. Legend Statement for Stars at 12:30. Guest list closes at midnight. The ball will end at 5 a.m. Cash categories, grand prize, open to all Vogue performers, $1,000. Bring a gift for $10 pop. Other categories include Open to All Runway, $250. Femme Queen Realness, $150. Butch Queen and Drag Realness, The Transformation, $100. Open to All Love Realness, for a trophy, one cash award, $100. Open to All Sex Sirens, four trophies, one cash award, $100. Third Virgin Vogue, $50. The Queen of Hearts Birthday Ball, too. February 18th, 2012. 54 Ledge Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio. See you there.
All right, that's the Queen of Hearts Ball, which is going on this weekend, February 18th, which is on Saturday in Youngstown, Ohio, I think. And that this Saturday, doors open at 10. Legend Station starts at 12:30. There is a guest list, which will close at midnight, and your grand prize is $1,000 for Open to All Vogue performance with a $10 pop. Bring a guest or a $10 pop. If you have any questions, hit up Sophia Darion on Facebook, and she can help you. I think she needed you guys' houses that were going in. She was on the show last night. Any houses that were going to the ball, she is giving you guys tables. Hit her up right away if you're interested, and she will be there to answer all your questions. TJ, Rico, you guys are still there? Keisha?
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah.
Alexis, Lawrence,
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I'm bringing on a special guest, and her name has been running through these radio waves for the past couple of weeks. A lot of people have different opinions about her, but I will say one thing about this child. She may not be a legend. She may not be a star, icon, but she is known. She still competes. And a lot of people, you know, criticize her. A lot of people judge her. But everyone knows her name.
Amen.
And I want to bring on
Amen.
Feminine Destruction.
How did I know?
I knew that.
How you doing?
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm doing pretty good.
I know you're a little shy, but I wanted you to be a part of the show tonight because I know you have witnessed a lot. You have been in many different houses. You haven't stopped hitting that floor. You have been judged by many different types of people on the panel, and it still hasn't stopped you. Your name is known all over. What do you feel is going on right now, and what keeps you driven to keep competing?
To keep me driven is actually that I knew all this was going to happen. You know what I mean? I'm a very smart girl, and once you put yourself out there in front of that many people, and once you put yourself out there to be judged by people, you got to be really strong and ready to take everything that people are going to say. You know what I mean? And I'm actually a kind of person that likes all that stuff.
Okay. How do you feel, you know, let's start off with some of the issues that are going on in ballroom. What would you like to see change when it comes to balls, when it comes to houses, when it comes to panels? What do you feel? You've been in different houses. What were some of the reasons why you left those houses and you just have not, you know, you didn't feel comfortable? Was it the leadership? Was it the family bonding? Was it the support? What were some of the reasons why you have made switches, you know, so many times?
Being as though that I'm a big family person, you know what I'm saying? I have a real family, and I kind of never really took, like, the house thing and, like, gay family too serious with everybody being so shady. You know, you could be in a house and have sisters and brothers that don't like you, want to fight you. You know, I've been through a whole lot of things. I didn't just run from house to house. It's a lot of shady things, lies. They tell you the houses are a certain way, and then you get in there for a while, and it's totally opposite. And I have a real family, so when things get like that, I just withdraw myself from that.
How would you like to see families now, as far as houses go? What would you like to see?
I definitely would like to see a lot of different changes, like actually, you know, trying to be a family. But I also would let people know, you know, don't have high expectations like that. You know, I think that a lot of times people sell you dreams, and sometimes we want to believe it, but at the end of the day, this is just a house, you know what I mean? So you can't expect so much out of it.
Okay. Now, when it comes to the politics on ballroom panels, when you're sitting there and you're competing and you're walking and you see a panel full of legends and icons compared to stars and statements and stuff, what would you like to see stop on the panels, and what would you like to see start happening on those panels?
Honestly, I prepared myself, you know, before I came out there in front of these panels, so I'm to the point where I really don't care. So, like, I've been on the panel now, you know, a lot recently, and I get to voice my opinion and do what I want to do. So I respect people. I've never been a person to question what's going on. I do think it's a lot of shade, but, I mean, it works on both sides of the table.
Let me ask you something. You just said when you're on a panel, you get your chance to do what you want to do. Do you take any of that animosity from what people have done to you onto the judges panel with you when you're judging?
No, not at all. Oh, but even still, with my opinion, people still have a problem with that too. You know what I mean?
So, I would think so, because remember now.
Okay.
What is that?
Why? She's short because there was money bought today, and they took from the receipt.
Oh, Keisha, I'm muting you for a little bit. I'm sorry, coming in. Go ahead.
I'm good.
Jasmine, I want to piggyback on something she said about the whole the house family. I think we need to realize that, one, it is a family setting. To a certain extent, some people have to realize why their real family stopped even dealing with them. And a lot of times it's not because of the lifestyle that they chose. A lot of times it's because they fucked everybody over in their real family that people just said, okay, look, I'm not going to keep putting my neck out on the line. You have mothers that keep going to get their kids out of jail, and when you go to jail and your house family is not responsible. And I learned this the hard way. I learned this, and this is why I can say this. When you go to jail, it's not your house family responsibility to come get you, because one, they didn't put you there. Now, granted, a lot of people do go to jail because they're trying to do things for their house. You understand what I'm saying? Or because they feel like the parents have made it mandatory for them to be at this ball, so they have to do whatever they need to do in order to get there. You understand what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's not their responsibility. We have to learn to be able to be responsible for all of our actions. And I'm a firm believer in that, that I had to learn, and that, and I can say this because I have learned that it's not their responsibility to be there to bail us out of jail, because we've made decisions to do things in our lives to get us caught up. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to realize that, okay, to a certain extent, this is our family, but then at the same time, we have to take responsibility for our actions. So we can't – a lot of people leave houses because people aren't there for them when they think that they need to be. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of times it's not even about finances. It's just – a lot of people just need someone to talk to.
Right.
Well,
you know,
I do agree with you on that. I know Feminine is not going to be able to stick around with us all night, even though I don't know if she can or not, but I just wanted to ask her a couple of other things really quickly.
Sure.
You're still there, right?
Yes, I'm still here, boo.
Okay. How do you feel about the violence that's happening within the ballroom scene? Where do you feel it's generating from? I know that you're a part of Philly, and I know recently Philly started this alliance over there that has created this whole ban list for, you know, people who are fighting and things of that sort. What do you feel about that in your own town since it started there?
Yeah, I'm definitely tired of the violence. I hate it. I hate spending my money going to a ball and the ball is shut down before my category. I think that it scares people off, and good people that, you know, have a lot of potential to make the ballroom seem a lot hotter don't want to come out because of it. I really can't stand the violence, and it all stems from, once again, the shade. And it's just so much shade in the scene, especially here in Philly.
Do you think the shade comes from the money, the power, the legend, the icon? Where do you feel the shade is coming from?
Honestly, I really don't know. I think it comes from a couple of different things. It comes from, like, you know, a lack of respect from the young generation, not respecting or knowing a lot about the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just ignorance. Like, I think it's ignorance and disrespectfulness.
Well, I agree. You guys can talk. Go ahead. TJ, if you guys are the Mizrahis that are on the line and you want to come on the show tonight, you guys are more than welcome to. You have my permission to come on and speak among this platform. Press one and speak, because you guys are part of an iconic house and you guys have a voice that needs to be heard as well. So don't be afraid to talk. TJ is on this phone, and I really appreciate him and the House of Mizrahi for allowing him to be here. And anybody else that wants to come on, you guys are more than welcome to. Please press 1. Anyone else out there, please press 1 if you want to express your concerns. This night is for the stars and statements only, because you guys should definitely be heard. And I want to take the time to say thank you for everyone that is on the line contributing tonight. TJ, did you have anything you wanted to address
or piggyback off of? No, honestly, what I think we need to do, this radio show is actually going to start bridging the gap, but just how the icons have the real icon group that they have, I think everyone needs to get together and really work on fixing this barber scene, because we can sit on this phone all day long, every Wednesday or whatever day we do, and have this conversation. But if we're not all together and can come to an agreement together on how to fix this, it's not going to make a difference. Because what we might see, someone who's an icon or a pioneer icon or a legend might think we're just foolishness and trying to discredit them, and it's not going to work. So I think we all need to, like, get together in one area, and everyone needs to talk about it. This needs to change. This needs to go on. There should actually be a set requirement of who can throw a ball. Certain people should not be allowed in certain instances to throw a ball. If you know you have someone who's constantly throwing shams, who's getting the kids, just giving their money to help pay their rent for the month, they shouldn't be allowed to throw a ball. If you have someone who you know is on the panel just doing stupidness or chopping someone or starting shit on the panel, they should not be on there. That needs to be discussed more than this stupid-ass ban list, banning somebody from a ball.
Okay. Rico, did you have anything going
there? Yeah, I wanted to touch on what Lauren said about real family. Me being a person who got 18 brothers and sisters, and I come from a large family, everything not always going to be hunky-dory. You know what I'm saying? A family has issues just like anybody else.
Right.
Just living in a house situation. You know, I've lived all the way from a project. I lived in a mansion. Every house has its flaws. So everything is going to have a flaw. You just got to learn how to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? And as far as what the person has said about, you know about Paris and Bunny, go back farther than that. A lot of these kids don't even know about Crystal LaBeija, the one who even started the houses, because she was shaded by the white girls and their little scene. You know what I'm saying? Go back to where it started from and then come on up and, you know, try to make it better. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of the icons need to teach a lot of them about, you know, the Crystal LaBeijas and the Avises and the Dorian, instead of just Paris and Vernon, because you got 20 so years of history before that.
I got you. Keisha, did you have anything that you wanted to address?
Well, everybody's
basically pinpointing a lot of good points. And, you know, I was just wondering, too, as in, I noticed you mentioned this before, how can we change? Us having these topics, these shows, I mean, are we wasting our time? That's another question I was just kind of brainstorming. We say we should, but are we doing? What is the point of us doing this if it's not going to happen? I mean, and I don't want to feel like I'm sure we don't want to feel like we're wasting our time, but is this going to make a difference, or we're just wasting our own time on here just saying what we want to do?
Well, no, honestly, I feel that, number one, Rome wasn't built in a day, and we heard that slogan many, many times, but I've seen it many times before. I think with the way the show is going and people hearing other people as well, knowing that they are not alone in this may start off somewhere, but I really truly feel that it starts off with you in general, because you can spread it into your girlfriends and your circle, which will continue to spread and spread and spread. Just like gossip spreads so quickly, so can something positive as well. Mm-hmm. I think that it just all starts with ourselves. I know personally I'm getting my life listening to you guys. I get my life listening to the people who call me up and they tell me certain things or how they feel. I listen to what people have to say. And I know that that helps me in the things that I would like to do when it comes to this ballroom scene. I also know that there are icons on this phone right now that I am looking at. And they so deep down in their heart, with their soul, they are trying to make a change. And no matter how they're doing it or what brick walls they are running into, they are listening and you guys are helping them. I know that there are people on Facebook that are listening from their computers that look forward to this show and they want to hear your voice as well. Again, it may not change overnight. It may not change this year or whatever, but as long as you guys continue to speak and address to them, I am sure the panels, the promoters, the commentators, the mothers and the fathers will start to listen. I guarantee you, if you guys are in Sea Paris is Burning or Nova History on your house, within the next 30 days, I bet you will. Why? Because it was brought up on this show. Why? Because some mother and father out there now is going to listen and make sure that their children are going to start learning their history. And I know that there are houses out there that are showing their children or allowing their children, or showing their children their history and telling them and teaching them their history. This is not every house. But there are houses out there that aren't doing it, that just want the quantity, and there are houses out there that are looking for families and teaching them. I know that that is what my vision is, along with my sister Kelly. That is what we are doing, and that's why it's starting off slow and starting off small, because we have to make sure that everyone is doing it right. Keisha, Alexis, did you have anything that you wanted to piggyback off of?
The only thing I wanted to say, Jasmine, I think like a lot of the legends and icons need to come off that legendary horse and listen to what a lot of the young people say. A lot of the young people do have a voice, and they may not know how to express themselves, or they may not know how to say what they really are trying to say. But a lot of times, if the legends and icons would just listen and help the younger generation, maybe we can get somewhere. But, I mean, the older people are just so stuck on what used to happen or the way things used to go that we have to realize everything evolves. The scene is not going to stay the same. I have been in three houses in my ballroom career, right? In one of the houses that I was in, it was just like, it was just a lot with me, period. I'm a very opinionated person, first and foremost. And I'm going to say what I got to say, regardless if you like it or not. And a lot of people couldn't take that because they were like, okay, well, this bitch just came in this house.
who is she to say, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. But do you feel or realize I have sat back and watched from the outside, so I know what it looks like from the outside looking in. And now that I'm on the inside, I'm trying to help you guys make it better to those that's looking on the outside.
Come on here.
But a lot of people are so stuck on power that they don't even want to hear what the fuck anybody else has to say. Oh, I'm this person. I'm this person. Who fucking cares? You started just where I started at. Like I tell people, they don't never have to make me a legend or an icon. I came in the scene making legendary moves. So if I don't walk another ball and get another of the year, win another cash prize or whatever, I walk balls because I want to. It's extracurricular. I had to learn that. But see, Jasmine, another thing we have to learn, everybody doesn't learn these things at the same pace.
Mm-mm.
You know,
some people,
it is their lives. Some people, they are trained that, bitch, you got to walk this ball. It's mandatory for you to be at this ball. If you don't be at this ball, you out of the house. But they don't even care to what the child has to go through to get to that ball. They're not even concerned that the child has an ad up in the city a couple of days before just to make sure that they have all their stuff together for the ball. They're not even concerned that the child just AP this car to go to D.C. to AP this room to run in this Verizon, T-Mobile, whatever, and do these APs to get their coins so that they can be at the function. That's not their concern. As long as they're at that ball to get that coin, that's all they're worried about.
But the shade is when they're doing APs, 9 times out of 10, it's the parent or leader's fault that they're doing APs because the parent or leader needed something and the kid went AP to form.
What is
the
AP?
The ones that get locked up, like Kelly said.
I'm sorry, I'm naive. What is AP?
That's what Kelly was saying, waving her magic wand. I'm going to say this. This is just
okay.
Period.
I'm sorry, not to cut you off. What is AP?
If you don't know, you don't need to know. If you don't know, you don't need to know. Just leave it at that because it's for your better good.
Right. Me personally, if I was a parent, first of all, I don't need to be a parent if I can't even get my own self together. Because being a parent entails you helping your kids get together. Let's start there. See, maybe a lot of the houses need to go and look at their house parents, their leaders of their house, and see what the leaders are doing.
Hello.
In order to help
yourself, you can't help someone else.
Right. How can you be a chapter mother if you sleeping on your daughter's floor, working your ad out of her house? And I mean, how do you fuck you want me to call you my mother?
Right. So true.
How can you be an overall mother if, bitch, you can't even get yourself together for a function? And if you do get yourself together for a function, you can look at it and tell. Why should I have that much respect for you if you can't do the shit that you expect me to do for myself if you can't do it for yourself?
Right. I feel like those leaders that don't have it together should step back from the ballroom scene for a second until they get themselves together or something. Something got to give. Like, personally, me, I'd have had 11 deaths in the past year. I took a step back because I need to deal with some personal things instead of the ballroom, you know? And a lot of people don't even get their personal life together. I'd have been involved standing next to somebody, they parent and dad the day before, and they had a ball.
Did you agree with it, disagree, or how did you feel?
I definitely agree with everything that everyone is saying or whatever, but I also feel as though that today, you know, it's not all about, I don't think it really should be all about the new school getting catered to these new kids that's coming out. I think also in a lot of different circumstances, the new schools, they need to already know and know different things about the people that already been out there first.
I think they need to meet halfway. It needs to be a halfway mark. Because a lot of the new school don't respect the old school, and a lot of the old school don't respect the new school.
How could you come into something not respecting the pioneers and the people that made it possible for you to be there?
I understand you, but respect is a two-way street. I was on a show and I listened to one person said that they've been walking balls for X amount of years, and they asked RR who was he, and I'm like, how the hell you walk balls and don't know who the hell this man is? You understand what I'm saying? But
well, yeah, I think I just played at the collections ball when someone walked realness and they didn't even know who Dre was.
Right, I mean, but that falls back on the parents of these houses. How can you have these kids in this scene and they don't know what the fuck they're really getting themselves into?
Yeah,
but at the same time, I wouldn't necessarily say it's the parents' fault, because a lot of people, if you're not in New York, CVA, over there on the East Coast, really, I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of these icons and legends that you have,
that's true,
don't bring their ass out that East Coast. But they're quick to say Midwest and the West Coast need to come East Coast to get a legendary status to do this.
But you know something,
and
I have
hell,
to interject
if you
on
actually
that.
Sit there and look at it, they don't even want to bring their asses out of Atlanta, New York. They stay right there. So you really can't say it's the parents' fault for not doing it, because you can say a name, but if this kid don't see, if this kid been walking 4 years and never once seen this person, besides if they ever went to New York, you can't be mad that they don't know exactly who this person is.
I just think that also with parenting, if you know that your kids are going to be traveling out of state and you're not going to be there or whatever the case may be, you should say these are the names of people that you need to be aware of when you go to D.C. because these are the heavy hitters in D.C. instead of saying these are the legends, these are the icons, these are the pioneers, but these are the heavy hitters, these are the names you should study this week. And you go to New York, these are the names you need to study. That way they get a familiarity of who's who, you know. And when you go through those lists, you know who the four houses in that state is. Those houses are the names of the mother and fathers or the whoever that you need to be aware of. So if they're on the panel, you'd be like, oh, that's who my dad was talking about. Yeah, okay.
But
I want everybody, not to cut you off, guys, for a second. I just wanted to make an announcement. All you guys listening, this is the emergency, well, the State of Emergency show, episode 2. It's dedicated to all the stars and statements. It's not for the legends and the icons to, you know, call in and express themselves. I really want the stars and the statements to talk and let their voices be heard. I want you guys to listen, and just really listen to them. So if you guys are on the line and trying to get through, please listen, and let's just not, you know, it's not for you guys to come back on and, you know, say anything or rebuttal about what they're saying. I just want everyone to listen. You know, RR and myself are the, you know, hosts and co-hosts and stuff. So we're just listening to them, and this is just their platform tonight to express themselves. I'm going to bring out another caller. Marcus, you're on the line.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Okay. Hello, everybody. I just wanted to say that I believe that one thing, I've kind of said this a few times, I'm not sure how the legends and icons have looked at it. In regards towards, like, the status or the deeming of status, I believe that it should be more of, like an internal promotion type thing. And that, like, let's say you work for a company and they post, you know, positions that would, you know, be a higher salary or higher title, you know, requirement. You know, you fill out the application and you basically apply yourself. I believe that some people never want to move up. Some people work in customer service. They never apply to be a senior representative or a technical trainer or anything like that. They never aspire to move up. And if those people don't inspire or ask, you know, I'm not going to say inquire about it or at least take the initiative to do it, then maybe, you know, it was never that important to them and they just don't want it. But for those who are interested in it, you know, I believe that maybe, you know, that's kind of how they can implement Fred's idea of the whole application type thing. But instead of people who really don't know people's history, i.e., let's say somebody who's a house hopper, they have a tendency not to get deemed because no one truly knows their real history. They know what houses that the people were in, but no one can really say when they won. And they might have been, you know, a true competitor. But because they've kind of been lost in the shuffle or they've never had really effective leadership throughout their time, no one knows their whole track record. And no one knows your history better than yourself. You know, and of course you may have those that come out and try to, what's the word, forge their history. Well, there should be mechanisms to check that, but for the most part, that might be a way to do it. Secondly, I wanted to kind of agree with Alexis on the whole idea of the icons and legends and maybe being more open-minded. I don't know if they noticed this or not, but a lot of times when statements and scars or virgins or even people, you know, spectators from the outside that are looking in may make a suggestion, a lot of times the first response from them is, well, really, who are you? Well, I mean, and that really, that kind of, kind of a naive, for, you know, it's a moot point at that point. A suggestion, if it's a good idea, no matter who it comes from, could actually end up being, you know, a great idea. You know, there might be patents and inventors out there made by people who might have been, you know, regular custodial workers, but they might have came up with a really idea who had no really formal training or, you know, engineering degrees. They've become, you know, they come up with great ideas, and they, you know, created things and designs that actually have gone out and changed the world. So if the icons and legends were more kind of, you know, accepting of, well, I'm willing to hear these changes and, you know, not look at the status part, the portion of it, it might, would, you know, change things a little better.
Well, thank you, Marcus. Hold on a second really quickly. In 3 minutes, the show is going to shut off in the chat room. If you guys are listening from your computers, you guys need to call in right now. The number is 347-215-6820. You're not going to be able to listen from your computers, and the chat room will be shut down in the next 2.5 minutes. So call in now. If you guys are on the phone line and you hang up or whatever, you're not going to be able to call back in. If you are on the phone line, please press 1. We already have been on the air for 2 hours, and we're just not going to stay on all night. So I do want to hear your opinions as well. And I do thank everyone, TJ, Rico, Keisha, Alexis, Lauren, and Marcus, for being a part of the show tonight. We're going to go to another caller, 859-360. You're on the air.
Hello. I live in the Midwest, and only thing I can really say about when it comes to the legends in our area, a lot of them is not really respected because they don't give a lot of respect back. It's more of so stereotype of basically of what they already know instead of trying to know the new information that's already out there. Because as me being somebody in my city, I live in Cincinnati, Ohio. We don't have a real ballroom scene here, so we have to travel to Columbus and, you know, Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. And from what I observe is that some people only feel fab because they don't have no real-life expectations. As far as with legends, I feel like we are all people as all, and we all are adults, so why not respect us all at one point? So I feel like that has a real big point with the legends as far as not having no life expectation and only being successful in the ballroom scene.
You know what? And I totally agree with you, because I was just about to speak on that, because I was at a ball in Columbus, I never forget. And for, I think it was Vogue Film, you had to bring it in. They said they wanted to see all 5 elements. And she was letting some of the kids through that wasn't bringing all 5 elements. And I'm like, hold on, who is this person up here on this panel? And then she chopped somebody that brought all 5 elements. I lost it. And I was telling her, like, you know, you need to get off the panel. That person just brought all 5 elements, blah, blah, blah. They split. She's going to say something. Well, I'm a legend. Just because you're a legend don't mean that you could be girlfriend unless you're slab, because you a legend or icon, I'm going to call you on it. And at the end of the day, it needs to be done. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, more people need to stop being, you know, scared and speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you have instances like that, that's actually, if you see some shit like that happen, the promoter of the ball is then supposed to step up and say something then. That you shouldn't just let anything go on at your ball. If you just seen she letting all these people slide, that's not bringing it through, then the person that comes through and literally eating it, and they get chopped. You need to then go back and either tell all the people that she let slide through that didn't come through the category,
their chops, or you need to overturn it and really fix that. And if the judge, so if she, this one judge wants to come up her status and just say she's legendary and she can do this, you pull that bitch off the panel.
They overturned it. I made sure it happened.
We have another caller, 704-907. You're on the air.
Yes, Marcus, I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Okay. TJ, you guys talked about bringing people back from CHOPS. And I've noticed that a lot of times that's not fairly applied, mainly because a lot of times the categories are somewhat poorly written. So, you know, the interpretation of the category is kind of weird. Now, I'm, you know, as a promoter, I'm trying to justify how do you bring someone back when, and I see if there's a discrepancy of like, okay, we're calling for, you say black and you didn't necessarily say all black, or shoes were an exception. But in regards to, I've seen sometimes, you know, let's say in that instance where you said someone brought all five elements of Vogue, the judge say they didn't, and then the one just chopped, and you as the promoter didn't see it. How do you justify bringing that person back?
So let me get it correct. The judges, one judge out of, say, seven judges, so one judge out of seven chops, because they say this girl did not bring all five elements, correct? And
it could have been one judge was the first judge to chop, and everything else, and all the other judges decided to pay it. It's the ballroom scene has yet to create a youth system where every judge real scores taken interpretation. A lot of times, you know, the commentators will bypass, but, you know, the judges may not ever put up a score, or judges may think that, oh, well, this person's already chopped. It's a one-chop rule, so I don't even need to score. I don't have to be the bad guy tonight. And so, like, you know, it's kind of unique then for, you know, how the scene was when, you know, they were doing the Paris is Burning, where, it, you know, everyone had to score in the nines and tens and type things to where, you know, there was basically a consensus of the entire judges panel. You kind of got everyone had to score to be able to, you know, be able to determine this. But, yeah, that was my example.
So basically more so like the Scottish, how you do it with the A, B, C, D, E's, and F's.
That or the nines, tens type of thing. But even with the A's through F's, I mean, there's always a way to where there's a way to bypass automatically to a chop. You could just give them an F. So, I mean, although
correct,
that's a unique way that Scottish do it, there is a way, if you want to be shady or if you're just trying to be real and someone deserves a justified chop, you just give them an F. But my question is how, as a promoter, how do you bring someone back for something you didn't even see? Because a lot of times the promoter's not even standing up there.
Well, my suggestion would be you have someone call the promoter to the judge's panel. The promoter comes to the judge's panel, and he'll say, why did you chop this individual? And he said, because he didn't do five elements, or she didn't do five elements of Vogue. And you'll ask the judge sitting next to them, did you see this person do five elements of Vogue? And that person says, well, not really. And I would ask him, why didn't you see it if he saw it? And he said, well, I wasn't really watching. Okay, then now you got to get up. And then I would ask the contestant, give me your five elements of Vogue right here, right now. And if they do five elements of Vogue in front of me, I say, no disrespect to you, but he has his five elements. Let's go on with the ball.
Okay. Now, I can see that happening, but also I can see the backlash of that. You're going to have that one judge, just because you asked another judge, then did that, say, well, what the fuck am I up here for?
Well, right. And I mean, because personally, out of any ball that I've ever been associated with, I've never brought anybody back, mainly because if I really feel like that, if a judge has a history of trying it, I'd rather just not put that judge up there, or, you know, we'll switch the judges panel out. There's a way of getting them up. But truthfully, I mean, a lot of times we have to believe in the judges that we're picking. And, you know, I would hate to be asked to judge something and then, you know, for someone to not believe that I'm going to do my best. Because if I really don't think you should be up there, I'm not going to put you up there. I don't care who you are. So,
well,
why
sense,
at that point,
what
the who picked them up to put them up there? Hmm?
We can go to the Detroit Awards Bar, remember?
I need to make a next statement real quickly, and I'm sorry, TJ, to cut you off. You can continue after I make the statement. Mm-hmm. This statement goes out to, now I know what Kelly be going through. So I'm just going to hold my composure, but I'm going to say this. This statement goes out to all the icons and all the legends, all the up-and-coming legends and all the ones that are fighting for legendary status, all the leaders, all the people who are in different states trying to lead and start something. You guys should be really listening to this show. If you guys are so on the bandwagon of change or starting something in the right direction, you should be listening to this show because these people are really expressing their concerns. And without these people, there would not be a ballroom. There would not be a ball. There would not be competitiveness. There will not be people competing. There will not be those $30. There will not be a house. You need to listen to the younger generation. Put your egos away for a minute. Put your personal feelings away for a minute. Unplug your power from the wall that you're so trying to hold on to and listen. Stop trying to control everyone. And listen, it only takes you to make it to the phone, to the computer, or whatever, and listen to what they have to say. Go ahead and continue. Well, I'm going to take another call, and then we'll go back to you guys. 313-808, you're on the air.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, Jasmine. This is Eric. I was listening, and I did my ear hit my phone. Sorry.
Okay, Eric, thank you for listening. Go ahead, Marcus and TJ. Marcus, go ahead and TJ, because I have a few questions for Marcus. Go ahead, TJ.
Okay. We can go back to the Detroit Awards Bar. You were here for the Detroit Awards Bar, and there was two instances where people were chopped. The first instance will go to
But let's not say the names, because maybe we don't want to pinpoint people out.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, we know through that first situation. They were chopped due to what the category read. Of course, they were brought back. Would I personally run them back? No, because to me, the chop was justifiable. Now we can go to the second category. Well, three instances. The second category, which would have been drag's realness, when the little girl was chopped. The first reason they said she was chopped, they said her shirt was not blue. Now, teal. Teal is a shade of blue. So when they said that wasn't blue, I stood up right there and there and said, teal is a shade of blue. The category says Brittany is blue or purple or both. She has on blue. And then they tried to pinpoint the pants. Well, her pants are not blue or purple. They're indigo. Indigo is a shade of blue. Indigo blue. Okay, so what is your next point? Then the judge turned on and said, she's not real. So
well,
no matter
I think
what
that's
you
what
do,
happens when
the judge is when you try to take away their chop or overturn it, they can always go around your overturn and just say, well, this is not this now.
Right.
So it all boils down to if the promoter is there watching their function and seeing what's going on, you can stop a lot of things because if you're there personally hands-on seeing it from the get-go, you can put a stop to the shit that's getting ready to happen. Mm-hmm. So when they get to going back and forth saying this was chopped because of this and why was this girl chopped, and then you won't have the millions of the bitches running up to the panel, why was my house girl chopped? You won't have the shit from, you don't ask me a question, I'm a house parent, I'm a legend. You don't come up to the panel and ask a legend a question. Because personally, I remember the days when you got chopped, another parent could go to the panel and say, why did you chop my child? Okay, fine. Go back and tell the child. Now, a child running up there, I wouldn't say do that. But a parent, I don't personally see a problem with a parent coming up there saying, why was my child chopped? Okay, I see your reasoning for it. That's fine. Thank you for letting me know.
Okay.
Marcus, I have a couple of questions for you. As a promoter, what do you feel is, you know, how do you feel you need to get the girls in the building? Do you feel you have to add money to all these categories? Do you feel it should be trophy driven? What do you do when you make these categories up and, you know, you promote your balls and stuff? What do you, you know, so many people are complaining it's the money. So many people are saying that, you know, we have lost the touch on just walking for a trophy. What is your input on that?
I believe that it should be a combination. You should be rewarded for your merit. The ballroom scene, you know, was created to promote originality and creativity, and everyone who's creative and original somehow benefits from their, you know, their talent. Because ballroom, I believe when I personally trying to help recommend what we do for cash categories, I look at things that historically aren't for, you know, a lot of money per se, or things that historically get, you know, thrown together to kind of give people unique chances, especially with, you know, our awards ball. We try to make it, you know, category driven, you know, avoiding the whole open to all thing, and actually give people a chance to say they were the first in history as possible. That's kind of our mission statement, and, you know, trying to create first of things. And because there's so many balls now, it's kind of hard to do that. But, you know, that way, you know, that's kind of our goal in doing that. In regards to, do I believe that the money has changed things? I don't believe the money has changed things. I believe that the love of money that some people have in the ballroom scene has changed things. Let's be real, $1,000, $2,000, even $5,000 in the grand scheme of things really isn't a lot of money. Now, back in, you know, 10 years ago, $1,000 or $2,000 could probably change your life. $1,000 at this point probably won't do much for you in 2012, with gas being $4, almost $5. So with that, you know, that's kind of the other thing about, ever since I've been going to ball since 2002, I've always paid $30. The price of the ball hasn't gone up. But when I first started going to balls, when I drove to the ball, gas was $1.79 or $1.69 or something. It's $4 and some change now. So everything's increased except the cost of balls. But so we've been forced to give away more money. That's understandable. You know, everybody wants to get the best bang for their buck. We just haven't. You know, people are getting more value than what they were getting in previous years, you know, per se, at least when it comes down to the money aspect, which is, you know, everything, the cost increased on everything in recent years.
Now, I'm going to ask another question, Marcus. You haven't been known for playing a major role as far as being in the house and things of that sort. You've been always more of a left behind the scenes, the promoter, you know, organizing things and stuff. When you pick houses, or what do you look for within a house? Are you more driven with family? Do you feel that ballroom scene now lacks the love in the family, the unity within family? Or what is it with you? What do you think? What's your opinion on all that?
I believe that every house has a style and a grace to themselves. And there's certain things that you admire about the people that you follow. I know that, you know, in my previous family/house, you know, what drew me to them was, you know, that our similarities in, you know, education. When I was in college, you know, those were the ones that told me, you know, you go to a great school. You know, your parents are spending a lot of money for you to go to school. You know, use this opportunity to change your life and better your life. And then, I, you know, seeing that, I saw how they were able to not just be in the ballroom scene, but to obtain a lifestyle of, you know, being around, you know, being the gay lifestyle along with going to school and having careers and doing things like that. And that's what drew me to them. So I think that's very little to do with the whole, the family aspect has changed so much now because so many houses have created, so many people, we call everyone our brothers and sisters now. I mean, that's, I think we use the word a little too loosely, actually. You know, everybody's not your family. But we are, certainly when I am searching for a home, or, you know, not recent, but when you are searching for a home, that I believe that, you know, you just find that one niche that you feel as though that you fit in with, and that's the That's that one thing. You'll just know when it hits you. It's going to hit you in your face. And those who are just searching around so often, they're kind of unsure of what they're looking for. So, you know, they don't know if they want that, you know, they don't know if they want to be driven, you know, with career progression or education, or if that they're really looking for that that point in life, you know, where they just want to be ballroom driven. Because some people only want to be ballroom driven, and that's a, you know, it's kind of almost like when you finish high school, you know how they say college isn't for everyone? That's not for everyone. And sometimes people do need to take, you know, 6 months out of, you know, or the first year after high school to figure out who they want to be versus going to school and wasting their parents' money, or, you know, taking out student loans that, you know, they're going to just waste when they really want to experience the world and learn a little something, get a little experience under their belt, and then say, well, this is what I want to do in my life and move on. So, you know, with that in ballroom, I kind of see them, I can see how some people respond that, you know, try to learn that way.
What is your take on the Legends and Icons?
I really believe for the first time in a long time, they really need that they want to change the scene. And I believe that that with that, I'm a person that really judges people on their intentions and their motives. And when your motives are good, even if sometimes they may make, you know, decisions that we may not agree with, because their motives are so good or and so well-intended, you have to kind of support them. The ballroom scene places emphasis on status. You know, we have this hierarchical system where, you know, we start at the top and work our way down. I don't believe it works in up, you know, that way. Social movements and changes usually start from the ground up, you know, like, the civil rights movement started, you know, from blacks who were, you know, marginalized. So people at the bottom of the totem pole trying to change things. But if the ballroom scene wants to start at the top and, you know, be the catalyst, the true leaders, they're going to be the ones to do it. It can definitely happen, you know. But, you know, history shows that, you know, I would just hope that maybe they'll try to include some of the people who are at the bottom, because those in history have been the ones who have basically changed, have caused social changes.
Okay. TJ, what do you feel about that? Risa, Tisha?
As far as the whole family orient, family values just don't live in the ball anymore, like you said. It's shade that you go through inside the house or the family than outside, honestly. And picking the right family is not always going to be what you find at first. So you might have, somebody might change families or houses probably 3 or 4 times and then be classified as a house hopper. Because my first family was a Scotter, and yeah, that didn't work out.
I think, you know, houses should focus more on being a family. You know, having, instead of just having house meetings surrounded based on a ball, they should have, you know, gatherings to know one another, to become closer and, you know, do things to bond more with each other, because it's really lacking.
Okay. All right. What do you feel about all this?
I think everybody said something really good, and I think they gave us enough food for thought, and that we need to take these suggestions of the younger people in the ballroom scene and try to implement them into what we believe we could do to change the structure of the ballroom scene. And at the same time, just let's not let our egos and our titles define who we are as an individual, and just remember that we're all here for one reason only, to have fun and share a love of the ballroom scene with each other. Because I think that's going to be the main thing that we need to get back to, just having fun. And that's what we've lost in the ballroom scene, just having fun.
Tisha, did you want to say anything about this? Tisha? Okay, I don't know if she's
back. She fell asleep on the phone.
Jasmine?
Yeah.
Can I ask RR a question?
Sure.
Sure. This is Marcus R. what can we do, you know, as the younger generation to support the change that you guys are in? Because, you know, I believe the Legends and Icons are more than capable of making the change, but for something to really pop off, the masses of people really have to support this idea. And what can we do to, you know, to get it out to the masses? Because honestly, you know, in the grand scheme of things, there are more younger people in the ballroom than older. So you guys are going to, because you guys are creating it and designing it, you guys are going to buy into it. How can we help you guys get us to buy into it, into whatever changes that are about to come about?
It just goes back to what Jasmine said. Just as we all are on the phone this evening and we're sharing our opinions and our views on what we need to do to make it better, share that with your house members at your next house meeting, and that way we can recycle and recycle and recycle until we can cycle it through everybody. And once the whole cycle gets out, we can all be feeling the same thing, and that way we can all come to the ball with one thing on our mind: lead by example. Because that's my motto, lead by example. And if anybody knows anything about me, they can never say anything other than the fact that, you know, I'm a very fair person. They're gonna, like someone said, there's always going to be shade in the ballroom because that's what balls are about. But the shade has to be understood that when the ball is over, we're all friends again. We got to stop beating each other up. We got to stop holding grudges and then getting on Facebook and Twitter and reading each other in groups and all of that. You know, we get enough bashing from the people in the real world. We get enough bashing from family members. You know, we get enough bashing from so-called lovers and other friends. Why are we going to do it as a community to come together just to get away from all that for one night? And I think the younger people can continue to do what they're doing by, if you walk a ball and someone chops you, don't take it as an insult. Just be like, okay, and then you walk away, you go back to your house mother and father, you say, can you find out from that judge why he chopped me or why she chopped me so I can figure out what it was about? And then that way the mother and father after the ball can say, or can call them at another time and say, why did you chop so-and-so? And the mother and father have to be open-minded enough to understand that the person did it for this reason or that reason. That way it can stop all of that animosity at the judge's panel.
And is there something that
one thing that I was going to say, what Marcus said about the younger generation helping the older generation break into the new thing, I don't think that, honestly, the transition to fixing this ball should just be left to the older generation because, like you said, it's not many of the older generation that still actually walks and come out and actually have an actual valid opinion in the ballroom scene. The younger generation needs to have a strong vocal point in the change and a strong vocal point of saying, okay, this is what needs to be done, this is what's not. All this, the Legends and Icons and everything running stuff, that's fine and dandy for back in the day when it used to work. But clearly, what used to work isn't working no more. So that's that old system when they made the rules and that's what goes, that needs to be put to rest, and a whole new bracket needs to be put in place.
What do you mean? You just said the old way of Legends and Icon making rules that didn't work. I mean, there were no rules.
Well, so look at it. All the rules and stuff, like with the whole legendary status and what's going on at the ball, that was made by
the younger generation. But it was the younger generation who started that madness. It wasn't your pioneer icons. It wasn't your older icons. It was the icons of 2000, you know, from 98 on down. You know, they're the ones who started giving out all of this. Before that, you very rarely heard of someone getting status. Status wasn't even something that we talked about. You knew automatically if you were who you were just because you knew who you were, you know?
Now, can I ask you a question, R?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess this is the question that's really on everybody's mind. I'm the believer in the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Why, if the icons or the legends truly believe that certain people have – something that they don't deserve, and they're not subsequently not going to be respected as those things, why not just simply tell the person and take them back and say, you need to work a little harder, versus giving them a false sense of, well, you have the title, but you don't have the privileges obtaining there too. Like, you know, it's kind of like you go to high school graduation and, you know, certain people got diplomas and certain people got certificates, but you never know at graduation. You kind of got to show your proof. You know, why not? If you're going to call them
getting a promotion at work and then the next day your boss comes in and he gives you a demotion. He says, I'm sorry, we thought you were ready for this.
Maybe my company is going to send out an email and say, you know, HR, you just notify everyone, or their title in the computer is going to change, and everyone's going to see
but
that. And yes, it's a public embarrassment.
Let me answer
and you can
that.
Walk away, but, I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. You should have never gotten it, or you got it on false. It's almost like if I apply for a promotion and I tell them that I have a PhD, and then they find I don't have a PhD, and they don't fire me for it, they just take the position back. Guess what? You know, that's my fault. You know, and
my opinion on that is, in some cases, Marcus, I understand exactly what you're saying, but it's like a domino effect, in all honesty. If you sit here and you take away the statuses of these individuals that, quote-unquote, caused all the, you know, chaos, then you have to question the person that gave them that status. And then that person is questioned, and it turns into a big old chain reaction of problems. So that is where the problem lies. Now, a lot of this is coming from different individuals that were deemed at one time and ran to their, you know, their region and started deeming a million people. So what do you do on that? Now that that person has caused this chaos, do we go to that individual and pull their status away? And then when we pull their status away, it comes to, well, so-and-so gave me that status, then we have to question this one, and it goes to that one, and it just causes a big...
See, that's not the point. Not for what they do, because once a respected person does it, it's done. Like a perfect example. If RR chooses to go against the rules, what the icons have said, and deems someone an icon tomorrow, because he's respected as that, people are going to take it for face value. But if someone who has a questionable or a status that's not respected does the same exact thing, that's the person that's going to receive the ridicule. That's the person that's not going to receive the respect, the recipient. Well, instead of just – and because that person is so privately and publicly ridiculed, instead of attempting to save that person from embarrassment, why not just simply let them know in private – you know, at this point, we don't think you're ready. This is what, you know, this is our suggestion. This is what we're going to do. And then simply just stop identifying that person as that. But when you call them out as legendary, or when you call them out as an icon, and but you secretly,
but let me ask
you know.
This. Let me ask you this. Who's calling them out as this? Tell me that.
Well,
tell me
the commentators. I mean,
not just mainstream commentators,
but it could be. Well, it could just be, you know, someone saw that you put on your Facebook that you're legendary. You know, out of respect, if I see someone put legendary on their Facebook and I know they've been out longer than me, who am I to question it? But that's kind of – you guys can definitely question it.
Well, I think
you know?
In the direction that the icons and the legends are trying to go right now, I think there will be a lot of changes that will be positive in that aspect of, you know, giving out titles and dealing with the ones who have the titles. Because at the end of the day, you really can't take away what has been done, but you can change things so that
you learn from it and you go in a different direction.
But I think that in saving them, it's less embarrassing to be told one time, whether it's in private or public, that I don't think you're ready for this, then really years of embarrassment of people giving you very much, well, you're not a real legend anyway. You're not really legendary or, you know, well, bitch, who are you and all of that. I'd rather hear it one time from someone pulling me in private or sending me a Facebook message than somebody constantly coming for you saying, well, bitch, who really are you? Or, girl, you're really not a legend, bitch. Miss Thing, sit down. Like, which one would you rather hear it? Now, you know, I have strong feelings, and that would probably get to me. I know it gets to some of these girls who really value others' opinions of what, you know, how others view them. So, you know, as much as you think it may hurt them, we're really, when they're reading them, just because they're not hearing about it, or sometimes they do hear about it, it's still hurting them. It's not helping them at all.
Don't you think that these people that we are talking about know that everyone does not see them for their status?
But see, that's not the thing. It's not even everybody seeing them. There's no person that at least one person doesn't see. That's just, you know, truthfully. It could be the most pioneering icon. Somebody from back in the day is going to say, well, baby, I don't remember them winning back then. And that's just what people do. But who are we to question it? But when the masses of people, if the majority of people are questioning it, that's when it becomes a problem. Like when it's like, you know, you call them out as legendary, and then the mass, you know, you're in New York City, and everybody's, and you live in New York City, and everybody's like, legendary? When did she become legendary? Or somebody update their Facebook, and the girl's giving, well, bitch, when this happened, and who did this, and okay, let's go over this, and everybody's questioning it. You know, it's a difference when, you know, when someone is truly deserving. There have been people who have been deemed without question, and, you know, a few people might have said something, but the masses of people agreed. And, you know, and the key players who mattered have agreed. And those are ones that, you know, are understandable. Those other ones that have, you know, they might have gotten it a little before their time, or they might have stretched the truth to make their resume look more alluring. You know, those are the people that, you know, in the long run, is those words going to hurt them as soon as they get to the ball and they walk a legendary category and then they're chopped.
Hey, just
well, Marcus, watch that. Jasmine and I have a question for y'all. Yeah, they don't want to snatch the people's titles away, correct?
No.
But what is the name of y'all new group that y'all just created? What is the name of this group?
The Real Spoken Legends and Icons.
Okay. So if you're not letting a legend or icon in there, they must not be a real legend or icon. So technically,
you're basically saying... It's not about being a real legend or icon. It's about keeping it real. It's about speaking. It's about speaking for your cause and what you believe in. That's where the miscommunication was in the beginning. It's about a person that's being real. Listen to what I'm saying real quick. It has to do with the fact of a person. You have people who get these statuses, like Marcus said. You have people who get these statuses, and they sit here and they do so much, but they don't care about change. They want to get the status, and they either go underground, they disappear, they don't have nothing to say, they got their status, and they do not care what anybody says about them. They don't care if the public sees them as a legend or an icon. They don't care. They just got what they wanted, and they're gone. Or they're going to carry it and feel fab and grand, but it's really not going to do anything with it. It's not going to do anything for them. And then you have the people who are the real legends and icons when it comes to being real about yourself, being real about what you believe in, being real about your cause, being real about your change and what you feel needs to be done the right way when it comes to so much, from the panel to the politics to the balls to the family to the houses to everything. And that's where the mix-up came in at. It's all about being real about your cause and standing up and speaking for what you believe in.
So, Jasmine, it'd be safe to call them.
One at a time. Go ahead, TJ.
Now, didn't they have the process where you had to, if they would put your name into the group and then they would vote if you're a real legend or icon or ask for your ballroom resume?
Well, you're not a part of that group. How do you know about all that?
Tony said it on the radio show.
Okay, well, as far as that goes, that everything is a learning experience. Keep it cute, lady. Everything is a learning experience, and I think it's not under those lines anymore. It's not under those lines. What we're looking for in that group is having two people from each house that is willing to speak on behalf of their house, to speak on behalf of their status, and to speak on behalf of the community in a better, you know, as hard, a better change for our, you know, our, you know, for our community, for the Baldwin.
So they're like, they're like senators or some, basically. The senators with, you know, the high-ranking senators or stakeholders in the ballroom scene who really want to actually take their status and they want to use their status for the benefit.
I wouldn't call it status. I would just be the spokesperson on behalf of that.
Yeah, but you still have to be a legend and an icon because, I mean, there are houses out there who don't have – you know, they're very large houses that don't have any legends or icons in their houses, as sad as that may be, you know, that are coming out and, you know, that's another thing, you know, the ballroom scene has become so, houses have become so exclusive, we're having the emergence of all these other new houses and families and kiki houses because people are not being accepted anywhere else. And because they want to compete or at least say they're part of something, they're having to create their own.
I don't want people to get the, you know, get the misconception that it's a secret society or Illuminati or anything like that. Bottom line is we are utilizing Facebook and the groups. Like, there are so many groups out
right.
there, from cheese fillers to house groups to sex siren groups to all women groups to escorting groups. There's so many groups out there, and we are just utilizing technology to get us in one place at one time, at the touch of a finger, without the phone calls, without waiting to go to a ball, without waiting to get in a cab or a train or traveling, just utilizing a format to communicate with each other and try to be on the same page about different issues, taking votes, starting a process. We're just working together in a group. It's not like we're trying to exclude anyone. It's not about your status itself. It's about us working together as one.
Because what I think is going to happen, what's going to happen is you may hear all the talking that's going on right now, but when you show up at a very major event and all of these people that are aboard, like the youth, like you guys, you younger youth people, and the new legends and icons, when we all come into one big ball, that's when it's going to show if it's working or not, because we're all going to have a different attitude when we walk in there. It's not going to be a power attitude. It's going to be a united attitude. And in that way, you can control who's in your circle. That person can control who's in their circle. And when you see somebody in your circle about to act up, you say, not tonight. We're not doing that tonight. You see what I'm saying? When whoever's on the judge's panel, they know they have to have
about it all week. We've been listening. We've heard about this issue for the past month in the room.
Right.
It's been a major topic, and now we're going to, you know, we're not going to do this. We are aware of it. That's what the radio show is for. That is what the groups are for. And it's not just the legends and the icon or this one particular group. The Stars and the Statements have groups as well. The Stars have a group. The Statements have a group. The Kiki Girls have a group. Everybody has a group, and we're just utilizing the same feature. Thank you, Tony, for starting this, utilizing this same format for us to just be able to get together and address certain issues that are on the table.
Right, and Jasmine, guess what? Had the you know, and that kind of shows you how everything gets out, because had the legends and icons never really kind of kept it to themselves, we would have never known about it. Because, I mean, I admire what you guys are doing. That really, honestly, as time goes on and as every day goes on, it really hits me like, okay, is this really worth doing? What I feel as though is a job without being paid for it, you know, getting the calls, dealing with this, dealing with, you know, helping, you know, of the year stuff in the Carolinas, things like that, is it really worth it? And, you know, at the end of the day, some people appreciate it because, you know, ballroom scene, I realized this walking into it, you're probably never going to get
as much out of it as that you've put into it, you know, especially I don't, and maybe some people have, but, you know, me personally, out of the balls that I've been to and what the expenses that it's gone to, what I've gotten out of it personally, you know, financially, it's never probably going to ever add up in life because, you know, those things are enormous and, you know, at one point, you know, we were kind of going everywhere. So I admire that. I want to ask a question that, okay, everybody knows kind of I work with the magazine that's kind of reviewing balls. This magazine was approached by one of their backers who was approached by, I guess, a semi-large television, you know, TV, you know, channel, a broadcasting channel. And they wanted to basically fund a ball, you know, obtain the rights to it. It'd be free. They'd give away, you know, considerably, probably more money than the ballroom scene has ever given away. But, you know, of course, they would obtain the ownership rights to the show, and they'd, you know, play it for syndication and, of course, make money off the commercials. Do you think the ballroom scene is ready for something like that? Because, of course, when you start talking about $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and, you know, when they first spoke, they were talking, they said something like $100,000, and I looked at them and I was like, baby, y'all are really trying to have people fighting on TV over $100,000.
Let me say this to you real quick, not to cut you off, but make a point. You ever remember when you were younger and you tell your mother, can I have my friends come over, such and such? She said, I don't want nobody coming to my house. My house is dirty and I'm not cleaning up. How can you invite somebody to your house when you haven't even cleaned up yet?
Right.
Okay. We can't have any outside entities coming to videotape us in the state that we're in so that we can get more bad credit on who we are as gay individuals. Because at the
end
of the day,
I want to let y'all know they're watching us already.
Let them watch us. Let them watch us. So then they can see the change happen, and they'll come to their senses and say, "Well, what did they do to make this change happen? We did it
I was a little nervous about it at first too, because I think what they kept referencing were, to me, they were kind of almost pushing it as like a, it would be like a reality. It'd be a ball, but basically they'd be kind of taking it and putting it parts and making it like a reality show. I'm pretty sure they'd want to follow some people. And I think the goal would be to kind of exploit. And that's kind of why I was like, I don't think the ballroom scene is ready.
And we're not having
I don't think
that.
The ballroom scene is ready for that particular light. But how do I say this?
That's how all
as easy as I said no, somebody's going
to,
you know, I had to be honest with you, somebody, they're going to approach somebody, and somebody's going to say, yeah, I'll let you come to my ball,
but let me say,
and you can videotape.
Stop right there. Let me say this. And guess what? If that person is a part of that group, Legends and Icons, it's not going to happen because everybody is about change. So if you're in a group that's talking about change and someone approaches you with that, you're going to bring that back to the group for open discussion.
Well, y'all watch out for the prevention. I won't say a name, but y'all watch out for the prevention balls because that's who they're definitely going after. Those events that need funding, and, you know, when someone tells you that they'll give you, you know, $100,000 to put on
your
event.
We've fallen,
and, you know, it's hard for
an
agency to say no, you know, to that kind of money, because that can take care of the ball, every expense that, you know, those large D-Up, latex, POCC type events could, you know, put on and you know, definitely be.
I think what will happen with those people, in all honesty, because I will be 100% honest with you guys, based on who I am and the things that I have done in this ballroom scene, I have been approached by many. And when
right.
I say many, I mean many different types of people and organizations, and I would tell them no. And the reason why is because, like RR said, I don't feel like my house is clean enough right now, and I don't feel that my house can get it together at this point. And
right.
when you get
And we don't know
people,
how to act.
And we don't know how to act. And if
we're
you do get the
right.
people, if you do get the people that are going to accept these type of, you know, people into our scene or whatever. Believe me, like, again, with this group that we have, there are going to be a lot of eyes and people listening as well, and they are going to see, as we are now balancing out the people who are keeping it real, who are sitting back watching, who don't have nothing to say, who are always in the gossip groups but don't want to say nothing in this room, it's going to also show the ones that are just about the money, the power, and all the rest of that stuff. So eventually, like with legendary status and whatever, you'll feel bad for just that moment or whatever, but eventually it will just start to tear you down. Just like when people look at these legends and icons and say, who is she? When did she get the status or whatever? That same promoter is going to get the whole very much, who the hell does she think she is? She just did that for the money. And it'll eventually ruin their rep.
And, Jasmine, I don't want everything to come off about the money. Oh, go ahead.
I personally think that Vol should never get to the point to where they being broadcasted. It should remain underground unless y'all plan on taking out every realness category, because think of all the lives that it can ruin. Even if it was on a network like Logo, my grandmother watches Logo. You know what I'm saying? I'm not out. And I'm intertwined with the straight community. And if somebody could see me on Logo, Walking Thug, Realness, do you know what I would have to go through? One of my cousins actually got beat to death by our own family members, like literally in the ground. Their funeral is next week, not the one that's Saturday, but the one that's Monday. Their funeral is Monday. So that will ruin a lot of people's lives. I think it should never be broadcast.
Well, that's why we always say to people, go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
One thing about it, if they were to ever tape a ball, they have to get consent from you before they can push that on air.
There will definitely be consent. You will know what your categories are, and then you will know in advance, you know, I can't afford
but
to do
like,
this.
I want y'all to be clear. Y'all pictures are all over. Your picture, when you walk into a venue, especially like a Latex or something like that, there's a sign posted saying by entering this in view, you are being agreed to being videotaped. Just like, you know, there was a one point on Logo when they had when they kind of did the story on the tsunami young lady and they showed her the latex ball. They were showing a ball, and that was on MSNBC, and they showed candid shots, and they showed you. You didn't get paid for that, and you didn't sign anything. When you walked in that venue, you agreed to MSNBC videotaping you, and that's as simple as it is. So you have to be very careful. You don't have to sign anything. You're not being featured. You're just being shot, and your face could get easily captured like that, and they end up using your portion of that film, and then, you know, your aunt's watching MSNBC, watching this documentary about a transgender woman, and then they flash to a ball, and your aunt said, hold up, that looked like Ray Ray, or that looked like, you know, that looked like Susie Q.
Right.
And then, you know, that just happened.
Somewhere.
Or it could be on MSNBC. It's just right there. As long as that's
We live in a day and time where that just can't be avoided. We can only try to do but so much to keep the cameras out of our scene. But at the end of the day, we can only do but so much. And it comes to a point where we have to say, you know what? Together we stand, united we stand, divided we fall. And if we see anybody in there with a camera, hey, we need to go to the promoter of that ball and say, you know, what's going on here? And if you don't want to be on camera, you need to say, you know what, I'm leaving.
Even now, think about.
I want to say real quick, we only got 9 minutes left into the show, so we are going to be wrapping it up. But go ahead, Marcus, and I'm going to make some closing statements.
Okay. Even think about, you know, everybody with their video cameras. Right now, just think about someone sending one of our videos to World Hip Hop All Star or something. You know, how many hits do they get a day, especially when it's a fight or something? We can easily be viewed in our stereotypes, you know, by, you know, the outside or people who are now a part of the scene. So we really need to start thinking about that a little more proactively because, you know, it's, you know, we're becoming more relevant, you know, on the mainstream, but we're definitely, our underground world is really becoming very, very, very mainstream if they don't notice. And we are everywhere. We're on Netflix. Paris is Burning is on Netflix. And for a long time, you couldn't find Paris is Burning at even a Blockbuster. Paris is Burning is instantly viewing on Netflix now. That really means a lot. You know, simply stated, you know, things with, I've seen Greg Evisu on Netflix, you know, I've heard his chants, I've heard Deshaun chants on, you know, watching, you know, documentaries about, you know, black gay life and, you know, the ballroom scenes coming up and they'll instantly show Escalitas and I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if these people know they're being featured on this and, you know, it's being accessible to everybody on the, you know, on the World Wide Web. So just be careful about that. That's all I had to say, yes.
All right, thank you, Marcus, for calling in.
Thanks, have a good night.
I just got one thing to say, Jazz. We talk about the TV people coming in, videotaping us. Has anybody noticed we're on YouTube? The world can view that anywhere.
Yeah, you're right.
So what's the difference between them coming in taping us and ballroom throwbacks or anybody else videotaping us and putting the shit on YouTube? They got DVDs floating around. It shocked me. I went over one of my straight friend's house, and she had a ball playing on her computer that I was like, how did you get that? She said, oh, it was on YouTube, and I ran across it. That's a damn shame. You can pull that up on YouTube and see everything that happened at this ball. And the sad part about it was a fight at a ball that she was watching.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you got to be open-minded to what's going on. It's just about a change now. You know, as long as I've been in my family loves me dearly. My niece and my nephew, who I love dearly, I went over Thanksgiving to the house, and they called me in the room on the computer, and they pulled up a PC, POCC ball at Webster Hall, and they said, is that you, Uncle?
Mm-hmm.
And I gagged because it was me. I said, oh, yeah, that's just one of my shows I do. And I left
that
it like
TJ, that. That TJ, what's your closing statement? Because we do got to wrap it up.
Basically, I say we all need to come together, make a positive change, and stick to it. And that's it.
Thank you so much, TJ, for being a part of the show tonight. Rico?
Yeah, I just say that everyone should lead by example, and a great move will change.
Okay.
I mean, and a great change will come.
Thank you, Rico, for being a part of the show. I really appreciate it. It's just me and you right now.
No, I just want to thank everybody for calling in, and I hope that everybody starts to follow the movement of change and just know that, you know, we can all, you know, do this if we just take our time and put our egos to the side and just remember the reason why we're doing this is because it's fun. You know, and let's just try to make a few changes. We're not going to make a whole lot of changes, I know that, but let's just try to work on the ones that need to be done. And lead by example,
that's my
slogan.
My thing is that I really think that